Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and landed episode number 85. And I'm about to go on holiday. I'm Keith.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Glenn.
I'm also the only podcaster at this table that Simon Fisher Becker follows.
Sean thought he was going to get a reprieve.
Friend of the show, Simon Fisher Becker, and personal friend, because he follows me.
Oh, it makes him a personal friend now. Well, next week he'll be having tea with Simon. Sounds brooding now.
I'm Keith.
We did that.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Simon, I've been following you since Galley,
man. I was too busy last week.
I mean, your Twitter account, you're entitled to follow whoever you want.
At least. I just now realized I wasn't following him.
So I just started following him in the past week. Maybe it's a new thing. He's starting to follow back. Maybe he didn't follow back at first.
He followed Shatner.
Well, that's Shatner.
Simon Pegg.
That's Simon Pegg. I'm sorry, Sean, but you're no Simon Pegg.
I knew Simon Pegg. You, sir, are no Simon Pegg.
Here's your episode title.
How was your guys' week?
I'm going to need a beer.
It was good.
Excuse me, podcasting juice.
Want to grab me some podcasting juice while you're in there? Well,
since you was up.
Oh, wow. Mister, I am following Simon Fisher. He's a close personal friend of mine. I think you can get your own podcast.
I'm going to be a little long-winded, so do you guys want to go first?
I'll go first, since Sean's not sitting here.
Sean's getting podcasting juice.
Yes. Sarah and I moved.
You moved? Where'd you move to?
Same complex. Different apartment.
So we were recording this week in our old studio, and we will do so until the end of August.
Yes.
And then when Doctor Who returns, we will be in our new studio.
It's still Sean's apartment. So
yes. He rubbed in the Simon Fisher Becker, and I kicked him out.
We got a one-bedroom in this complex and moved everything Friday and Saturday.
Same complex, two buildings north or west.
Two buildings west, one building south.
South.
Building number
four. So you're over there between where I used to live and where Sean used to live.
I'm in the building Sean used to live, on the other end.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. You're in between the building I used to live and where Sean used to live.
Yeah.
Right, he's in that portion that nobody I know has ever lived in that building. You're first.
Holly's best friend.
Technically, every building here except for that one.
Technically, you lived in that building.
Holly's best friend.
We were on the other side of the wall, though.
Yeah, but it's still, that's one building. Yeah.
Holly's best friend in high school. Megan, well, she's Finkeldy now, but I can't remember what her last name used to be. Anyway, she lived in that building.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesse used to live in the building behind us.
Oh,
see, there you go.
What about the one behind that?
You've known somebody at least every building, almost.
Is that what's his face and his wife? Is that two buildings back?
What's his face?
Which one was Dave in when they were?
I can't remember his name.
My building, because we determined it might have been even my apartment. Well, my old apartment.
When they were building their house?
No. Oh, no. He lived here. Wow, even before I moved
here.
But
didn't they move in here for a little bit when their house was being built?
You know what? They sure did. And it was the building right behind you.
Oh, so it was the same building. Then Jesse must have been in the third one, then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
You're right. They did live here. I forgot about that. Well, he lived here 15 years ago over in the building Holly and I used to live in.
Yeah. And you might have shared the same apartment.
Yeah, and it might have been my apartment.
Well, Blake used to live in
this
apartment.
Yeah, we know for sure Blake
did.
He's moving back into this apartment.
Well,
right? Oh, no.
Not yet. He's still trying to figure it out.
He's decided he can't put up with the shenanigans that are going on. There's just too much Star Trek and Who on the wall.
There's too much.
I'm sure that's it.
He's overly stimulated every time he comes over.
He can't sleep. He wanders the house going, I'm Batman.
Well, I do like the way it's laid out. It looks fantastic.
It's very
open. It doesn't
look
like everything's crammed in here. No offense.
Well, you get rid of Keith's stuff and there's a lot of room.
There's a whole empty room.
Yeah.
I told Mel it was really sad as I looked around today and she's like, it looks great. And I was like, she said, what? I said,
I have enough stuff to fill a two-bedroom apartment.
Well, you haven't moved into
she
the
says,
other
oh,
bedroom
no, you
yet.
There's nothing in Keys.
Which is why you haven't moved in with Mel, because you had to have no
well,
place
then,
for your
then
stuff.
I said, yeah, except for all the stuff that's at your house and in my mom's basement.
Oh, it could be a storage room.
Yeah, very easily.
So. Wow.
But so we did that and had some adventures along the way. Like,
Chrissy just moved, too.
Yeah, she did.
She did. Congratulations on finding your new apartment, too, Chrissy. We're very excited.
Could have moved in here. I offered him Friday night here. She said it'd be a really long commute.
Our library's hiring.
Yeah. And I think it's a very nice library. We had some adventures in moving, along with went to take a shower Saturday after moving and no cold water pressure.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's what I said.
But you had hot water?
No cold water.
We had
water.
Hot water.
You heard
no,
that right,
no cold water pressure. Turn on the faucet and hardly anything came out.
But you had hot water on, you had plenty.
Yeah.
That's usually the opposite. That's bizarre.
Well, maintenance came out today, finally. After three days of taking a shower in the rain.
You could have come over here and showered.
That was a lot of work. I had to bring all my stuff over. All my stuff is already over there. I had to haul it over.
You've lived here for 8 months now. You should not be. The sight of a guy walking down the street in a bathrobe and a shower cap with a rubber ducky and a brush in his
hand.
This
is the man that gets up at 12:15 to get to work at 12:30. I called him at 10:30 this morning.
Hey,
knowing I was going to wake him up to ask him about shoes. And
I was okay with it.
I have never heard your "I just woke up" voice. Oh my god! It sounded like you were sick.
It's like Barry White.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
What?
Hello. The funny thing is, after I got off the phone
cool
with you,
tunes for you this morning. Sorry,
I laid in bed
Barry
for
White
only like
Foghorn. Keith, you can't really tell either way.
I laid in bed for only like an hour after you called, and then ended up getting up. That's
sorry.
Okay. No, it's all right.
I woke him up. Screwed up his whole day.
Uh-huh.
Surprised he's still awake.
But the
black shoes, white laces, white trim.
Yes.
Okay.
Traditional.
Traditional.
I knew that.
Traditional black shoes.
I didn't. I wasn't
if you
sure.
You were accepting my texts.
You didn't text me that. But I called him to make sure.
I completely forgot.
And then
they were
after
all blacks.
He was so asleep this morning, or sounded so asleep this morning, I thought, I hope he really answered me. Well, if I'll find out later, and if I do, I'll bring him back.
His eyes were closed.
It's all black. No, I said it wasn't all black. So,
did we talk about this last week? Wearing Chucks.
We talked about it
tuxes.
Last week or the week before. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if people knew the reference.
It was on podcast.
We are tangenting here.
But maintenance guys came out and fixed. We have water pressure for cold again. Apparently, there was a lot of sediment buildup in the pipes. And so tomorrow they're going to come in and replace the giant hole that's under our kitchen sink and bathroom sink.
To get to the pipes.
Yeah.
I have to tell a story.
So the people that lived in the apartment before you was just dealing with it?
That's the weird thing. You notice when you move into places and there's those weird problems and it's like,
okay,
oh, it's this.
I went and checked
and
my mail.
But then it's like, how did you not get that fixed before? Did nobody say anything?
Wow.
I went and checked the mail the day we got the key. Just, okay, let's see what's in there. Clean it out. Three electric bills. Or three letters from the electric company in there.
Wow.
So I don't know how long this guy had actually been gone.
Well, maybe
that explains
maybe for a while.
That. I came home and there were three electric bills on the counter that weren't ours. And I was like, wow, the mailman screwed that up. So I took him down to the office and said, you need to give these back to whoever. Because I'm not sure what they were thinking. I mean, if it's normally in the same building and they just got the wrong apartment, I'll just run it down and knock on the door and go, here, this is yours. But this one was like, man, that ain't even my building.
It was a wrong building altogether.
Well, that was before you'd ever been over there, too.
Well, I still don't know the address. I just know where you live now.
Yeah. But we got everything moved, and since we didn't record last night, I was able to get everything in a way that we're not drowning in boxes.
Oh, good.
Whoops.
Sorry.
Shut up, Siri!
It was something Twitter. I would have done Sunday afternoon, but I had other plans because it was my birthday.
Yes, and happy birthday to you,
Thank
Keith.
You. Thank
belated,
you very much.
One day late. But.
Happy birthday, Keith.
One day late.
Went
of course,
to...
we could have wished you a happy birthday on your birthday. If we'd recorded on your birthday.
Well, we knew we were recording on your birthday. Someone. Keith knew we were recording on your birthday.
I knew.
Just like Sean says, yeah, we can record when I get back. No, we're not going to. It's going to be another day. Unless it's a Saturday. And
well, talk about me later. So what'd you do for your birthday?
Went to lunch with my dad, who helped me move everything, as did Sean, Mel, and Jesse. So thank you very much.
You
helped a lot. That made three trips, one trip.
Well, Mel has a nice car.
So
well, Keith's the only person I've known that's moved in shifts. His first shift was with Sarah and her folks.
Well,
his second shift was him and his folks.
Actually, I didn't even help Sarah and her folks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Though, I mean, the two of you combined was shifts, and then the third shift was you and Mel.
And we got the
which was the same day at least.
We got the leftover dregs. You know that last little bit of moving where you're like,
oh yeah, I gotta get that off the wall,
throw it in a box. That's the stuff that we got. So. I feel bad because I told him ahead of time. It was like, dude, it's been a rough week, and with everything that's been going on, I said, you know, normally I'm all about moving. I love helping people move.
Oh, why don't you just come move all me next time we? It's my least favorite thing to do ever.
I think I'm going to hire a mover,
but I'm so glad I was out of town this weekend.
I hate moving myself.
I
wouldn't have asked other people.
Hate moving anybody. You know what? I've got a pickup truck.
Oh.
I'm going to end up being the one that gets asked
See,
to move.
You're lucky my dad has a pickup truck.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. Well, but I was out of town anyway. Yeah. So I guess you could have come over and got it.
Do you know why I love moving people? Because you get to vicariously look through their stuff.
Vicariously? No, you actually get to look through their stuff.
But you, it's
well,
not
only to some extent. You don't get to dig things out of boxes.
I do. You asked me to help you move. It's free reign, baby.
On my back in this before I pick it up.
But I mean, you help me move. I'll buy you a steak dinner. No, thanks. I'm good.
you get to see what they got. You know, that's always kind of cool. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, other than just, you know, normal friend stuff. You got the boxes. But then they buy you pizza and beer, usually. You know, that's kind of the friend thing. Hey, you can help me move. Okay, so there's a free meal in it. And then if you drop something, they can't be mad at you.
Which kept
the nice
threatening
thing is
to
if
do with
you
my
drop
coffee
something,
pot.
You drop something, they may not ask you to help them again. Even bonus. I already looked at your stuff. I don't need to help you move again.
You don't have anything worth dropping. I told Sarah she had his coffee pot all boxed up and ready to go. He had his coffee pot all boxed up and ready to go. She picked it up, and I told her, I said, you ought to fill that with broken glass. Take the coffee pot out, put a bunch of broken stuff in it, and then we'll just go huck it off the thing and watch him cry. And she gave me that look like, that's not very nice. And then she smiled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guess what you're getting into.
But I didn't get to get everything organized because of birthday stuff, so I had lunch with my dad after he helped me move Saturday, and then we had dinner with my mom and she and cousin and her boyfriend, and they came over and saw the new place.
Your mom and her boyfriend? Or
my mom
mom's cousin's boyfriend?
My mom, my cousin, and my cousin's,
boyfriend. There
you go. Okay. And I got a lot of good gifts. I got an awesome T-shirt, which I tweeted about.
Very cool.
Sean was very gracious and got me the Planet of the Apes collection on Blu-ray.
That's from me and Mel.
You and Mel, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that that?
No.
That's the same one.
Well, it's the same one.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I knew your stuff was gone. Is that what that is? It's the same.
And it's. I'm so looking forward to watching it.
Oh, I love the sparring. I like the
yeah.
And it matches the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I think is cool. I think. I don't know. Somebody took their planet. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It matches the
similar.
Font.
Yeah. It's similar.
Well, it's
the font's
the
always
font.
Been the same font. But.
Well, I mean, the Rise is kind of a.
Well.
I have to put it next to it to really compare.
How much was this?
I can't divulge that right now. I'll tell you off mic.
Oh, okay.
Sarah got me a new
wallet.
Well,
I wondered if I want to ask for you to get me this for me next year.
Mel and I will go together and get you a gift.
All right.
So thank you, Sean and Mel, for that. I'm very much looking forward to diving into it, unfortunately by myself, because Sarah finds the old ape movies creepy.
Even the old, crappy Tim Burton Planet of the Apes.
She didn't
the
even
same
watch
font.
That one.
Well, but as I'm saying, the font. Same font. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's an Apes movie. They're on that font.
And Sarah got me a very nice wallet and Firefly on Blu-ray.
Ooh,
yes.
On Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray.
You had it on DVD?
Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Once Upon a Time.
Dude, if I'd have known that, I'd have bought you that.
I wanted the Blu-ray.
I'm glad I didn't, but...
yeah.
Because you'd had two of
them. I didn't replace it. I never replaced it on because I wanted to get it on Blu-ray and just couldn't bring myself to spend the $62 for it. And luckily, I alerted Sarah to a great deal at Best Buy and planted that seed. But she did it really well in the fact of she told me... I went there, and they were all out. There was, like, only one per store. So I honestly believe that she didn't have it. Like, she couldn't get it.
I got the same bull story about Arkham City, because I told them, because Mel and Julian were all like, oh, we're going to go Black Friday shopping. And I'm like, have fun. I ain't going out. Right. No. And I said, well, is there anything you want? So I kind of thumbed through the ads. I was like, honestly, the only thing that I would care about is Batman Arkham City because Walmart's going to have them for $15. But I'm not going out there to get it. So if you happen to be in that area when that particular doorbuster starts, sure, I'd like to have that. And then she gave me this great, oh, it was insane, and people were climbing over children to get to things. And, you know, there was a human sacrifice.
Which I was there, it almost was that.
That was all true. Kind of you still just still managed to
and,
get
it. And I didn't get one. I was like, oh, well, okay, no worries. And then it was under the Christmas tree. And I,
now,
just,
really
and
only,
I just finished playing it. So.
The only exaggeration in that whole thing you just said
was
the fact
that
you didn't get it. I was there for the ritual sacrifice. I saw it happen.
Wicker Man! So it was a very good weekend.
Oh, good.
Sounds like you had a good weekend.
Yeah. Sean, busy, exhausting, but good.
Sean, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I kicked my roommate out.
That no good bum.
Yeah, he was terrible. And then I ritualistically burned all his stuff in a giant Wicker Man statue on the front wall. He thinks I moved it.
I didn't.
All the while yelling,
unpacked it all yet.
Why, Simon Fisher Becker, why?
I found out that Simon Fisher Becker's not following me.
Well, you had a lousy weekend.
Yeah, this weekend kind of sucked. I've spent a lot of time in my apartment, which is not...
It's rare for
well,
you.
That's just it. It sounds really weird. It's like, oh, Keith's gone, Sean's here now. And I don't want it to seem that way. It's just that there's been stuff to do.
I just viewed it as a... Oh, if we would have been here, we would have been hanging out all weekend.
It just happened to be that I was
because we didn't have anything going on because we were moving. So.
And then, I took advantage of the fact that Keith has moved his stuff out and kind of reshuffled the living room a little bit. And,
I was surprised how quickly it took you. We came back to get the remaining stuff after a couple of hours.
And
it was already rearranged.
Oh, how sad. The body wasn't even cold.
It was OCD because...
There's a hole in the wall.
That was it.
I know why he moved it. Because he knew if he didn't move it, he'd have to vacuum those spots. sooner you move it, you'll hide it.
I was planning on coming back and vacuuming my bedroom. And I went in there when Katrina was in there and saw that you already did it.
Aww.
So, I had every intention of coming back to do it.
We just did. Yeah.
He grumbled here. Oh, God, I can't believe how filthy and disgusting this guy was here. Got to get all the Keith dirt out.
I made Mel do it. he moved his computer desk. There was a hole in the wall. And then I looked at those bookcases and went, that would fit on that hole. So I moved him.
Yeah.
Billy did the furniture case. Great.
Yeah, but, looks good.
Just going to revamp things and then...
The shrine has shrunk a lot now.
The shrine has shrunk.
We haven't set up our shrine yet.
There's no Matt Smith on the wall looking over the massive army of action figures and the Hoodlum anymore. It's all just...
Now you got to go out and get your
My
own.
Two Daleks and my Cybermen and my 10th Doctor and my TARDIS, and that's it.
Looks like my Doctor Who collection now.
Wow, I'm the newbie and I have the biggest collection.
You have the biggest collection of Doctor Who, but certainly true.
Sean did keep the Weeping Angel in the movie now.
In the breakup.
We didn't discuss that, actually.
You got the angel in the divorce.
I got the angel in the divorce.
You have the tree. I don't have a tree.
Oh, well. So it'll stay with the tree, then.
Maybe Glenn can make me one for Christmas this year. And that can be his gift to me and Sarah.
Well, maybe I'll do it better than that one. I learned.
Hey.
No. That one turned out fine. I'll be the first to admit it. But it wasn't exactly... exactly how I wanted it, and now I know how to do it better.
I picked her up to move her and dust her when we.
She's heavy. I won't use that much modeling clay next time. She's that's for wins. Sure.
She's literally still kind of tacky.
Well, part of me wonders if it's not adhering to the modeling clay, because I'm sure her wings aren't.
I didn't touch the wings.
Wings are not.
Yeah. It may just be that it's clay underneath there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the clay. You know, but I'm not complaining.
Feels like she doesn't have spots coming off.
Stop feeling up the angel, Keith. You're engaged. Knock it off.
1 week to go.
But, yeah, so enjoyed the break in the weather. Played some disc golf today. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice break in the weather.
Even the weekend would have been great. I wish I could have gotten out
to
play.
We dropped from being in the triple digits and upper 90s to, well, it got up to, like, almost 80 today. It's an upper 70s, they were saying.
Upper 70s. It was gorgeous today.
How lucky I am for moving. Could you, a week ago?
Oh, yeah, it would have been horrible.
My uncle is redoing his sunroom. So they're literally, like, they had one of those. You remember the old Subways that used to have that glassed-off section of the restaurant? That was like a big round kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was bulbous out of the front of the restaurant.
But they didn't pour a real foundation on it. It was just a slab. So when they bought the house, everything was kind of starting to lean.
Oh, yeah.
This way. And so they ripped all that out. And they're putting in new studs and new walls and new windows. And they're going to, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they have been doing that this week. And it's like, well, you guys lucked out because the weather really
turned around. Yeah.
The story I was going to tell, we also had Adam's birthday party this weekend. His birthday is Wednesday, a friend of ours. And so we went over to his place, and he was all proud. And I'm going to bust him on this because it was the funniest thing I have seen in a long time. He's down in his basement, and he's so proud because he's hardwired his Xbox to his internet. And he ran Cat 5. Now, his internet and his modem are in his office, which are on the other end of the basement. So he put the thing together, and he put it up in the ceiling and ran the tubing down and got this really long Cat 5 cable and snaked it all the way down this I-beam that goes the entire length of the house and then dropped it down and then refed it through the next room and did all this kind of stuff, right? So he gets in there, and he's got it all measured out. He's taking us down there. He says, yeah, so then I ran it through here into this. Now, he points at this section of the wall above where the I-beam is, and there's a hole and another hole and another hole and another hole, and another hole in the drywall. Now, the drywall is all put back up into place, but you can see the cut marks where all this stuff is going to cut out. And I said, which hole did you drill? He goes, all of them. I said, what happened? He says, well, I drew this hole first, but there's a 2x4 back there that the I-beam's sitting on, so I couldn't get to the cable. So then I had to draw another hole over here, and I thought I could reach up and get behind, but my hand's too fat, so I had to drill another hole over here to knock that section out a little bit harder to get my hand in there. And then I grabbed hold of it and realized there's a 2x4 that runs this way along the I-beam into the cement wall. So then I had to cut this other hole so that I could drill a hole in that I-beam and then stick the thing through. The last hole that he cut, I kid you not, is drill-shaped. It's a big jack. And I looked at it and was like, yep, that's what just fit right in there. And then he put it all back up. And apparently his wife Amber came down and he said, look what I did, honey. And she started crying. Oh. I will admit, this is his birthday party. He's got a bunch of people over. I was probably not the best friend in the world because immediately I went upstairs and I'm like, dude, come here and check out the hole in the basement. It's drill shaped, man. So we had a good laugh over that. You mentioned your hardware things that you have to fix. It could be worse.
It's true.
At least your hole's under the sink.
Yes. And I don't have to fix it myself.
Yeah.
How was your reunion? The non-Bartlett.
It was good. I actually went on holiday this last week, and my mom and my dad and my sister and her two kids took my two kids on Wednesday, and they left for Springfield, Missouri, and they stayed overnight down there, and then they drove on to Branson where we rented a condo for the whole weekend.
Now, Springfield is Lambert's home of the throat rolls, right?
It is, yes. In fact, we ate there. Actually, that's Ozark, but it's actually in Ozark. But Ozark's did you get like a 5 minutes from
roll
Springfield.
Roll thrown to you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
did you know that if you don't eat, they don't throw the rolls?
Why wouldn't you eat?
I stopped in specifically to get a roll
me. I see. Like, you have to eat.
I didn't realize that's where it was at. We passed out. We went, home of the throat roll. We got to stop and get rolls thrown at us. and they will not do it if you don't order a meal.
Yep.
I was very disappointed.
I think it's part of your meal.
Surely you can pay for a roll. And a, you put Home of the Throat Roll on the sign, and really, I mean, it's a big sign. You can see this all the way down the highway.
Yep.
You put it up there. I should be able to walk in and go, can I get a half a dozen rolls? And I'm going to sit over here, and you chuck them. There should be a service for that. Anyway,
so they went down Wednesday night, stayed in Springfield, drove to Branson, checked into our condo, and then they took the kids to Silver Dollar City on Thursday. So Holly and I had the house to ourselves Wednesday night, Thursday all day, and then we got up Friday morning and drove into Branson ourselves and met them in Branson and spent the day. And so first day we got there, we did we took in the Hollywood Wax Museum, which is...
That must be relatively new.
What is it? No, it's been there for years and years. Really? Yeah, he remembered taking pictures as a kid.
There's
there.
A picture of me 5, 6, maybe 7 in front of the Frankenstein monster looking terrified.
Were you terrified or are you just looking terrified?
I probably was terrified.
Now, it may have been in a different location.
That's very possible. And it's expanded greatly.
Yes. Because what it is it's the wax museum. And quite honestly, the wax figures aren't that great. Madame Tussauds is or? No, it's not.
Ah.
Madame Tussauds is hands above better. However, the nice thing about this is all of them are. I mean, Tussauds does it to a point, but all of them are posed in really nice, like, background settings. So the background is you know, so you go through Tussauds and there's some of them have a nice little background or theme to it.
And some of them are just standing.
Some of them are
the
just
lobby.
Standing
yeah.
there. You know what I mean? Even in a room as you go through, and some of them have no rhyme or reason. These are all, I mean, the rooms are themed.
Very atmospheric.
It is very atmospheric, and that's what made it a lot of fun. So, and you can tell who's who. I mean, they look similar to the actor they're supposed to be. But so we walked through there and took pictures and had a grand time. I'll have to post Caitlin's. The coolest thing, I think, is there's a giant King Kong in the foyer.
Ooh.
And the first thing you do is you walk up and you stand behind his hand, and it looks like he's grabbing you. And he's smashing through the wall. And so there's a picture of Caitlin where, you know, she's going, like, you know, hands up, like he's grabbed her, and she's Fay Wray. You know, it's,
is it new King Kong very, very or cool. old King Kong?
It's kind of a meld between the new and the old, I think. It's
Wait, when we talk new,
it's
are
a little
we talking
fancier,
Peter Jackson?
Yeah, it's a little fancier than the 30s Kong, but it's
because there's been another one in between.
Yeah,
Peter
the 70s
Jackson.
Kong with Jessica. Oh,
you're talking the Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, yeah. Jessica, why can't I think of her last name?
I'm trying to pull it up.
Anyway. I don't know. It's kind of a... honestly, it's a mix between the three, if you ask me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it looks more like a real monkey, but it's not quite... Well, excuse me, apes. Yes, I just offended King Kong and apes everywhere. It looks... so then...
What was the first one in line?
That's right. So so there was that. That's all we did that night. And we went to Dick's 5 and Dime, or 5 and 10, which is downtown. It's an old 5 and Dime store.
Ooh,
and it's
I
just
love
got,
five and dime
oh,
stores.
It's incredible. Nothing's down there is a nickel or a dime, but it's,
I was about to ask that.
It's so cool because it's this old stuff. That you, I mean, not old, but it's stuff that you just don't get. It's stuff from your past. I mean, I picked up an oversized Jawbreaker that's about the size of a baseball. I picked up one of those compressed powder candy suckers. I picked up an Astro Pop. Do you remember Astro Pops? They were the
red, white, and blue ones?
Yeah, red, white. Well,
oh, I
red,
saw that picture.
They were red. They were red, yellow, and green. Actually, they weren't red, white, and blue. You're thinking of the popsicle ones were red, white, and blue, but. It's just like
We're showing our age there.
Yeah, it's like K-Row syrup, and it was like, you know, I always got them at concession stands as a kid at baseball games. All right, so I pick all three of them up, and I'm carrying them around the store thinking, which one am I going to get? Which one am I going to get? And then it occurred to me, I'm an adult now, and I can choose. And so I bought all three.
You're an adult now, and you have the money.
That's right. So as a kid at the 5 and 10... I would have had to pick, but I did. I said, I work hard, I'm an adult, I'm buying all three, and I did.
And so, you paid all of what, 48 cents?
No, no, yeah, they're expensive. I think it was $4 for all of it.
We went to a similar place in Omaha.
Yeah. And the prices reflect today's times, but it is that all. I mean, it's just a hodgepodge of stuff. It really is. It's a five and dime. So that was a lot of fun. We walked through that store. That was it. Went back to the apartment, or the apartment, the condo, and just kind of hung out the night. And then the next day we got up, we went to, the Butterfly Palace, which is awesome. I wasn't quite sure about this, but I knew the kids would like it, although Caitlin was quite freaked out. The Butterfly Palace is essentially just that. You go in there, and they've got a gift shop. You go into one room, they've got all these, like, it's called the Butterfly Palace and Rainforest Display. And the first thing we went in was the Rainforest Display. And what it is essentially there's, like, a lot of rainforesty-type creatures in aquariums in this one little room. Nothing really special except for some really cool-looking stuff. Then they have this what's called the Rainforest Maze, and it's just bizarre. It's bungee cords hanging from the ceiling. And you just weave in through these bungee cords. Well, I forgot about Hannah's Maze of Mirrors, which is part of the Hollywood Wax Museum, which is a lot of fun if you ever go there. I'm not going to go back to it, but... But they also had a maze of mirrors, which was very cool at the rainforest, the Butterfly Palace. But the coolest thing about the Butterfly Palace is this room that you go into. It's huge. I mean, it's probably three of these apartments together here, which serves nothing for the listener right now. But
but we know
a large expansive area with lots of. I mean, it's warm in there and humid, and it's rainforesty, and there are real trees in there. And there
That'd
are butterflies.
That'd be kind of close to a football field, wouldn't it?
Maybe a half a football field.
Okay.
And then there are just butterflies. And they're flying everywhere. Free, roaming, butterflies everywhere. I mean, butterfly, butterfly, butterfly. It was awesome. And just about every type and breed of butterfly you can imagine is flying in this place. And you're just walking around in all these butterflies. It was incredible. That I would highly recommend to anybody going there to make sure you take in the Butterfly Palace.
Now, you've been to Omaha, the zoo.
I have been to the zoo.
Now, they've got that butterfly.
You know, we never went in there.
Really?
Yeah, we never
Neither
did.
Neither did we, actually.
We did not go in there.
Okay, same setup, but it sounds like there may be way more butterflies than yours. The first time I went to Omaha, there were a ton of butterflies. This time I went, there weren't very many. And, of course, they've got people standing at the door to check you when you come
right,
in and out.
Because
make sure
you
they're
can't,
not hitchhiking.
Yeah, you can't take them out.
Don't step on them.
Don't step on them. And if they land on you, you have somebody come over and take them off because you're not allowed to touch the butterflies either. So. Yeah.
So why was she freaked out?
She just, that's something just the, that creeped, the, she didn't the, want the land on her, I think was the idea of it.
I was wondering if that's what it was.
Yeah, she was quite creeped out by that. But she did just great. She walked through it with no problem. So anyway, so that was awesome. And then around the corner of that, they have what's called the Coconut Tree Climb.
I saw pictures.
And it's
that
one of these,
so cool.
It's two fake trees, but they've got the little knobs on them that you can climb up, and they put a bungee on you, and you climb up, and then you ride the bungee down. Both my kids made it about 2/3 of the way up, so I was impressed.
Oh, cool.
My
nice.
Kids are not very athletic.
How far did you make it?
Well, I did too. The kid, you know, it's only for kids. Unfortunately, I couldn't climb. I was sad. I would have loved to have done.
And that's really impressive for Mason.
Yeah.
Considering how young
he's
he is.
He's a little guy. He's only 4 years old, and he got up as high as Caitlin did. My niece and nephew actually made it to the top of the tree. Now, of course, my little niece, she's like a monkey. I mean, she was up that tree in like 2 minutes. I mean, it was no time at all, so... And then we went to lunch at a place called Pizza Planet, which was a fit. Or not Pizza Planet, excuse me, Pizza World, not to be confused with the Toy Story Pizza
That's
Planet.
That's why I wondered where you're going with it.
Pizza World, which was fantastic buffet pizza. It's like, you know, CC's, you go in there and you expect a certain quality of pizza. This was way above and beyond. It was so much better. Really good, really great prices. Then we went to Ripley's, believe it or not, which was another thing that I was hesitant to do, but my sister and her kids wanted to go, and I thought, all right, well, whatever. And we went, and it was really enjoyable. Those are fun, little music. I mean, because there's nothing, there's very few things that are there that are authentic, but the displays are done in such a way that they're entertaining and fun and informative, and that's really neat. They do have an authentic shrunken head there, so you get to see that. And, they had a two-headed calf. It wasn't live, obviously, but
kids weren't freaked out by that.
No, they were fine with that. They had no problem. The one thing that freaked my daughter out was they've got this one room that is like on a slant, and then they've tilted it in such a way that like the architecture is done in such a way that it disorients you as you walk through the room.
Yeah.
So that bothered her a bit. It's got this
the vertigo effect.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got this really cool thing where there's two balls, and there's a ramp that goes up. and you put the balls at the bottom of the ramp, and of course they roll up here or appear to be rolling uphill, yeah, which is kind of cool. So went through that, had a lot of fun, and then that night was when we drove up to Ozark, which is about 30 miles north of Branson, and went to Lambert's, home of the throat roll.
Home of the throat roll.
And they threw rolls at us. And my kids absolutely loved it. Mason was just had a blast every time they threw rolls. Of course, I'd have to catch them for him because they're like as big as his head. But they're huge rolls, and they're really good rolls. Mm-hmm. And the coolest thing is, though, you order, and I mean, mine came out in a skillet. I mean, it was literally this big. I mean,
well, what did you order?
I had pot roast, or not pot roast, I'm sorry, pork chops, what I had, smoked. You get two sides, so I had green beans and cottage cheese. I don't know why I ordered cottage cheese, but...
Yeah, nothing wrong with cottage cheese.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan. Anyway, but then they have what are called pass-arounds. And that's where they just come by your table with a big bowl. And one thing is macaroni and cheese with tomatoes. Fantastic. Never had it before. Wonderful. Fried potatoes. Fried okra. They just carry these big vats around. Ask you if you want some. Dip it on your plate.
It's like a side dish.
Man. Oh. Huh. It was incredible.
I don't remember that when I went. Loved it.
All of the cups, I don't know if you saw my pictures online, all of your cups that you filled were those big 32-ounce mugs. You know, the ones that you get in the convenience store that they're insulated. And you fill those up and they last you all day long. Big old 32-ounce mugs. That's what your main, that's what your drink was in. And they come back and fill it up. I mean, you're not for... a want leaving there for food when you get when you've gone, you should be totally stuffed. It doesn't matter what you've done, you should be completely stuffed. So we did that. Then the next day we got up and
I left not stuffed.
Went to the pool. Well, yeah, but you didn't buy a meal. And then the next day we got up, went to the pool. Then we headed back in the afternoon. So.
Sounds like a great
weekend. Yeah, and we had, we met a lot of, we didn't meet, I knew them, but we met with a lot of our family.
Oh, I'm related to you. Hi.
My mom's family was down, so we did a lot of things with them. A lot of those events were done with them, and then, but they went to shows, and we're not really shows people.
Didn't take in the Titanic exhibit?
No, I drove by it a couple times. I saw the picture. I was the only person that was interested. That's kind of what I wanted. The rest of the people in the crew weren't.
Because there's a lot, I mean, Branson's a very cool place, but Branson's also very, very, very touristy. It's kind of the... Plan on spending money when you go to Branson.
Yeah,
because you got to go to this, and this, and
it's it reminds me a lot of Vegas without the neon and a lot more cornball. I mean, it really is,
and family friendly.
It is family friendly, but it's really gaudy. I mean, no, it's just enough gaudy. Does that make sense? it's
gaudy enough.
If it were any more gaudy, I would be going. I don't know. This is a turn off. But it'd be just Dollywood. Enough corny that
if Vegas were set in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yes, there you go. That's what it feels like. Yep. And this is the first time I've been to Branson, ever. I've been to Silver Dollar City outside of Branson. We drove there on the way to Arkansas one year because I've got family that live in Arkansas. And we stopped there and drove past Branson. But that was it.
It sounds a lot like a family vacation we took when I was younger. Same spots.
Really?
Much. Yeah.
See, there you
if,
go.
If you,
it's, all been there. It's really great for kids.
That's what we were worried about is that the kids wouldn't have anything to do.
It's more kid oriented than adult oriented.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, adults
the
can enjoy it.
Attraction-y type stuff are, but if you're going there as an adult, you obviously can take in the shows, the Titanic exhibit. I mean,
if you're into those certain shows, for me as an adult, I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah, see, that's just it. We didn't do those shows.
I wish I'd have thought to tell you. Away from the Strip in Branson, but down toward the river. Where they're kind of starting to kind of revamp the downtown area and build that up. They have, it's like a little amphitheater. It's just kind of like a sunken, where it's stair-stepped down to this platform that's out on the water. And it's the same guy that designed the water fountains at the Bellagio. And they have this thing called Fire and Water or something.
We did we knew about those, and we didn't get down there.
It was a cool little show because there's these big pillars that waterfall. I mean, the waterfalls come off of them, and then they have fountains that shoot up and do things in time to music. But they also have fire that shoots out of these cannons.
We had planned. It was pretty cool. We had planned to do that, and it was something that we just didn't get around to.
And when you get down there again, you can do that. That was pretty cool. So it sounds like everybody had a good week.
We did. It was a lot of fun. And we've spent a lot of show talking about that. So let's move on to the news. Well, we talked about Keith's birthday just a little bit ago. And so somebody else we know is celebrating a birthday this week. As a matter of fact, today, right?
Yesterday.
Well, same day. Did we know that?
Not until he reminded us.
I Facebook commented on him and sent him. And
Phil, we had planned to wish you a happy birthday on your birthday. However, because I was out of town, we're recording today.
Nice cover. He'll never notice that. You can edit that out, right?
Anyway, happy birthday, Phil.
Happy birthday, Dr.
Who,
Phil.
Who just turned, 21? 22, Phil?
Yeah, that seems about right.
I think that's right. Mrs. Dr. Phil would have to know for
yes.
sure. But
no, we don't. You don't have to divulge your age, Phil, but I'm sure there have been...
How old are you?
Keith.
28.
Is that all?
That's all.
He's a young pup.
I know.
I'm in my late 20s now.
How old are you, Sean?
I'm in my late 30s, Glenn.
Guess what, Sean? I'm in my early 40s, so there. All right? Let's not complain about the young age.
You know, we didn't get to do it for mine. Are we giving you a Logan's Run birthday party when you turn 30?
Oh, we should. We definitely should.
I'd be up for that.
I'll keep that on the...
Put a crystal in your hand. And then sacrifice you in the ritual fire of Carousel.
Yes! And let's see, Brad.
The fiery ritual. The ritually fire of Carousel. The
we have
fiery
a runner.
Ritual of Carousel.
We have a runner.
Dr. Phil's probably the only one getting that joke right now. Someone's at the door!
I know. I lock it every time I come over. I'm just a habitual locker.
Mm-hmm. Mel's back.
It was him.
Glenn locked the door. What else is in the news? Happy birthday, Dr. Phil. Yeah, get distracted.
And many
there.
More for you.
And many more.
Another doctor has joined Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
Is he following you too?
Unfortunately, no. Sylvester McCoy is on Twitter now.
Something, and it's
official.
At Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, now you're going to make me pull it up.
I think it is. I think it's just at Sylvester McCoy.
I think so too.
And it is official, so you can go there. Somebody else joined Twitter just recently that. And I shouldn't have brought it up because I won't be able to think of it now. There's somebody else Doctor Who related.
I don't know. I'm following Nev McIntosh, and Simon Fisher-Becker's following me. Would you like some salt?
Yeah, okay.
What else is in the news? It is at Sylvester McCoy.
It is at Sylvester McCoy. So follow him on Twitter.
Also, more galley guests.
There were more galley guests announced, which I feel bad because this is actually kind of old news now, but literally it happened like immediately after our podcast came
like
out.
Like an hour after the news.
Who's coming
really?
To Galley?
It came
guest?
Out Monday night? That late?
It was, yeah. So, no, I mean, it was...
An hour after our podcast hit the feeds or after we recorded?
I don't know. It was after our podcast.
It was very quickly after our podcast.
Because we finished that show at about 1:30 in the morning. So yeah. Galley guests would have had to come out at 2 or
Well, they are 2:30. California time.
That's right. It would have been 12:30 there.
So maybe it was, hey, we're posting this at midnight on such a first day. At any rate, Finn Jones, best known as Santiago Jones, the grandson of Katie Manning's Joe Grant, who apparently teams up with Liz Sladen and Matt Smith in the Sarah Jane story, Death of the Doctor, which we haven't got to review yet.
Oh.
However...
I was wondering, why is this person... grandson of Joe Grant, okay, great, but why?
He's currently also much more prominent as... Sir Loras Tyrell, the Knight of Flowers on Game of Thrones, which I don't think we've got to that.
I don't think
either.
We've got to him either.
Oh, good,
yeah.
Because we didn't get another Keith. Oh.
I have such hard trouble keeping track of everybody on that show to begin
There's
with.
A lot of people on that show.
And a lot of complicated names.
Bruno Langley. Played Adam Mitchell in Dalek in The Long Game.
Oh, Adam, yay!
Adam, the almost companion. Fraser Hines.
Well, he was in Dalek, too. He was two episodes.
Dalek and The Long Game.
Yeah. He said that.
I didn't hear Dalek.
The almost
I just heard
companion.
The Long Game. Okay.
Apparently, he was also League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I don't remember.
Oh, no. I thought he was the young kid.
No, he wasn't Tom Sawyer.
Okay. I don't know who he was.
He said the light bulb went off and then dimmed real slow.
It went off and then blew.
No.
Wrong.
Frazier Hines.
Yay!
Jamie. I think he's been at Galley a couple times.
He has been at Galley. Yeah. And it was supposed to have been there last year.
Unfortunately, he had to back out. Yep.
Francis Barber, also known as Madame Kevorkian, or Eye Patch Lady.
Not Kevorkian.
Not Kevorkian.
Patchy.
Nev McIntosh and Katrin Stewart, or Katrin Stewart, who were Madame Vestra and Jenny.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Are going to be there.
Excited for that.
Dan Starkey, who apparently has played just about every Sontaran in the new series, including Commander Strax in Good Man Goes to War. And the big one, at least big so far, Sir Derek Jacobi, the Master.
Ooh. Well.
Yeah.
Well,
he was. He was Yanni.
He was
Professor Yanni.
Yanni and Yanni. 5 minutes of the Master.
Yeah, you know? Well, but he was the Master the whole time. Yes. We just didn't know.
Yeah.
So. And interestingly enough, he was the Master once before.
He was. He was the voice of the Master in Scream of the Shock.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He also was apparently in something, I think, called I, Claudius. You may also recognize him from Gladiator, Gosford Park,
yes.
The King's Speech, and Hamlet. Doesn't say which one.
And the first, His Dark Materials, what was the name of that one?
Golden Compass?
The Golden Compass.
That's right.
Yeah.
He has a prestigious past of acting.
I don't know if I put
not
the
a very good
Compass
movie.
In quite the same standing as the others. Yeah, but yeah. So
I heard the book was good.
Now, you know what this means. We've got the Sontaran. We've got the Silurian. We've got her human assistant. And we've got Eyepatchy, all from Good Man Goes to War. Who's missing from this group?
Simon Fisher Becker.
Yes. Simon, you got to go back to Galley. But first, you need to walk yourself over to your computer.
Why don't you send him a message on Twitter?
Get on Twitter and follow me. I feel bad because he brought it up and it was turned into one of those, you know, it was a good natured thing. And then I really did. I started stalking Simon Fisher Becker's following list to find out if I was in there. And it's this kind of weird obsession thing at the moment. So. But yeah, so new Galley. Yes. And of course, with Galley, always more to come. So they're just ramping up for what they are calling the biggest year ever.
You know, aside from the Galley guests, all of this is news to me because I've been kind of off the grid. However, the next bit of information we have is a bit of non-information. And that's the fact that
still don't have a release date.
BBC. And apparently there's a reason why August 25th now is not panning out to be the
date. At least for BBC America. We assume that they will do as they did last year and air on same day. BBC America has posted its schedule up to August 27th now, and on the 25th there is no Doctor Who aside from the Destinations of Doctor Who special. BBC One hasn't posted that far out yet. They're only up to Wednesday or Thursday of next week. So
should we post the speculation warning?
You are a major corporation in charge of, you know, an entire country's television viewing. Shouldn't you have your schedule posted a little bit further out than we? I feel bad if I don't have the Vortex schedule up for you people a week ahead of time. You're BBC. You don't have the schedule posted
yet?
What
do you mean by you people?
I mean you people.
So we're looking probably at a September 1st or later
in center.
Release date.
Here's
we all expected an announcement during Olympics at some point, and it never came.
I never saw it. Well, they probably cut that, too. They probably went for
that was probably in the opening ceremony.
Shame on you, BBC.
Now, here's an issue that I have
Olympic
that we're going to run
not
into.
BBC.
And this is part of the reason why maybe BBC is holding off. So we're going to run into a Saturday that will be Labor Day weekend. And if they fall in line with last year, in which they didn't air an episode of Doctor Who over Memorial Day weekend because they were concerned about viewership, if they start this the first week of August,
September,
September, That first weekend is the first. If that's Labor, which for some reason my calendar doesn't show it, but if that's Labor Day weekend, which it typically is the first Monday in September, that means we may not get a release that week on BBC America either.
Or BBC. Well, will they do it?
They don't celebrate Labor Day in
Remember
UK?
Last year they started it.
Oh, and then we took a break and we were an episode behind.
Yeah, we got the pilot. We got Impossible Astronaut, but we didn't get Dark of the Moon, but it aired in England.
No, it wasn't. No, because it started in April of last year. We got... We didn't get the...
There was a week where BBC ran it. BBC America
I think it was the Rebel Flesh two-parter.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
We didn't
Flesh.
Get the
it
first
early.
One. So, yeah.
Labor Day weekend is the third.
But we got two back-to-back the following week, I think. Because we caught back up with...
I don't think we got back-to-back until...
We didn't get a break.
Yeah.
I thought we caught
until
up.
We went to break.
I don't think... Well, because we're only three episodes. We've been Rebel Flesh, Almost People, and...
Good Man Goes to War.
Yeah.
So... The memory cheats.
Hard to say because we.
Anyway,
right
so my speculation is they won't launch in America on the first weekend of September either.
So that'd be the 8th now.
Boy, that shoots my schedule down.
Yeah.
Dear BBC, you're mucking around with the Vortex schedule. We need a decision here.
But we sit and wait for an announcement. There's a lot of speculation and
that we do.
Everything, but. No confirmation.
This
and BBC's Tumblr, or Doctor Who's official Tumblr, keeps posting pictures of the crew, or the cast doing different stuff, reminding people that we don't have a set release date yet.
That's true.
Meanwhile, here's them playing video games.
Yeah. There was that one. There was another one. But that's that bit of news. Next, BBC announced... that a special BBC Two drama has been commissioned to mark the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
What?
Yes. An adventure in space and time will tell the story of the genesis of Doctor Who since its first broadcast on November 23rd, 1963, exploring all aspects of the longest-running science fiction series to date. The special one-off 90-minute drama will also look at the many personalities involved in bringing the series to life.
And who's writing it?
Mark Gatiss and his... It is executive produced by current Doctor Who showrunner Stephen Moffat and Caroline Skinner.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. It was commissioned by Ben Stevenson, controller, drama, and Janice Howdrow, controller of BBC Two. So, Gata said, quote, "This is a story of how an unlikely set of brilliant people created a true television original, and how an actor, William Hartnell, stereotyped in a hard man roles became the hero to millions of children. I've wanted to tell this story for many years than I can remember. To make it happen for Doctor Who's 50th birthday is quite simply a dream come true."
Woot. It's very cool. Looking
it
forward
is very
to
cool.
that.
And we heard rumblings about it earlier this year. That I can't remember what talk show that they asked Gatiss about it, and he... kind of had to dodge the question.
Right.
So we kind of had an idea that this was coming, but it's great to see an official announcement.
Terrific. Our last bit of news. Keith, you want to take that one too?
Yes, I will.
Because you're the one that's going to go all fanboy all over us again. And
Matt Smith has said that Stephen Moffat's plan for the next series of Doctor Who will leave fans teary-eyed. This is according to Digital Spy. Series 7 of the long-running show is beginning... I'm gonna skip that. Smith revealed to The Sun that Moffat...
The Sun?
The Sun. That Moffat has already pitched ideas for the next series to him, and fans are in for a treat. He says...
The Sun is not a very credible source.
His first episode sounds great. It hasn't been written yet, but the idea is brilliant and as mental as you'd expect from Stephen Moffat, so there's a lot to look forward to. When Stephen Moffat was going to pitch the next season to me not long ago, he said, "Are you ready to cry?" And he also says that fans won't be disappointed in the 50th anniversary celebrations. And Moffat will do something brilliant.
So it's the sun, take it with a grain of salt, but it sounds...
It's the sun, so it means it won't be true, because every bit of Doctor Who news that comes out of the sun is a complete lie.
I believe the sun had Jenna Louise Coleman first.
I don't think that's true.
I think that's true, because I didn't believe it. So, I said, no, this woman's not going to be the companion
still,
because it's the sun.
We're still on the assumption, then, that next season is Matt Smith's last season. Okay, let's move on.
He's going to die.
I think it's going to be teary-eyed because he's going to become a girl. All right.
What?
Jenna Louise Coleman.
Companion.
Is the doctor.
Yeah,
companion is the doctor.
Yeah,
ooh,
they're throwing that
spooky,
about
spooky. All right. Well, Christmas let's move special. On to feedback.
Oh, is that my cue?
That's your cue. That's why I pointed at you.
you
feedback.
You usually do something here.
Feedback. I guess I'll have to cue up the video and dub that in.
I'm tired.
Our first bit comes from Liam.
And I'm reading it, and I'm not ready.
I'm still depressed over Simon Fisher.
All right, give me some
feedback. Feedback. We've got some feedback, but none of it's from Simon Fisher Becker because he's not following me on Twitter.
I would Ta-da. Read. Oh. This is the feedback.
That is the
this
feedback.
This is the feedback right here. I haven't looked at this. In fact, I have. I got this and I went, there must have been a problem with that email. All right.
I don't think there was.
Liam's feedback. I'm good. I'm glad that this is this way, and I'll tell you more in a minute.
Don't make fun
we of got, this. No, this is great. Comic question. Great podcast. Keep it up.
Thanks, Liam. Thanks, Liam.
No, I'm glad this is short because we went so long on our we did this week. So, thank you, Liam. We appreciate it, and I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. And we will indeed keep it up.
Memory Chiefs. I can't remember if this is Liam's first time sending in feedback. If so, welcome. If not, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
And if not, thanks for sticking around.
Your feedback was your ticket out.
Our next bit of feedback comes from a listener who posted on our website.
Yes.
Are you looking at me to have that pulled up?
I'll read it. Okay.
Okay, then. I had one responsibility. That was Galley.
Hi, Kansas crew. I'm Scott B. from Philly, a longtime fan, first-time commenter. While she wasn't under scrutiny this time, I've rarely ever heard the proper defense given for Tegan's abrasive for some personality. So here's mine. After Tom Baker's overpowering cult of personality, JNT wanted to go far in the other direction. From one main star and a couple of supporting players to have a more ensemble group, he toned down Davidson's doctor to make him more fallible, less all-knowing, and more easily flustered. You need someone to help bring that out. Nyssa is too prim and proper, too much in control. I like the character, and maybe I don't understand Trachonites, but not in the time she's confronted the master after Keeper of Tracking. You think she'd
Okay, hold on. Have you read this yet?
No.
Close your eyes. Leave the
but
room.
I'm reading this.
Close your eyes and read the room.
But I'm reading this.
Go to your room.
I don't have a room here anymore.
Go outside. I kid you not. Go outside. I forgot. You're
you
right.
You haven't really read this already?
I hadn't.
Go away.
Oh. All right.
I completely forgot. I read the... I am sorry. Who is this? Philly, or Scott. Scott, I'm sorry, I read this email and I thought, Philly. I thought to myself, I'm going to have to read that to prevent Keith from reading it so that he doesn't get this. And I'm sorry. Are you away?
Yeah, the door just closed. He's away.
Enclosed Keith in a soundproof booth. Okay, so here's the story with this. Yes, I understand that Keeper of Tarkin is... What, 30 years old?
Yeah.
How old is this episode? There are very, very few surprises in the Hooniverse left. And I don't know if Keith knows this one yet or not, so I've kind of been trying to hold out so that he doesn't know. It's like Caves of Androzani. Don't tell him! I apologize. I'll continue reading your email, Scott. maybe I don't understand Trachonites, but in time she's confronted the Master after the Keeper of Tarkin. You think she'd show much more emotion toward the man who killed her whole universe and now wears her father's body like a new suit. I'll say it again. This is in all capital letters, by the way.
Yes.
Wears her dad's body like a new suit. There's Adric. Enough said. Later there's Turlough, but by nature, he's less than trustworthy, even cowardly. And that leaves the Aussie girl. She grounds her doctor's sometimes overly carefree attitude. Sometimes she goes too far, but is the first to realize and regret it. It makes her a more rounded character. She was sassy. She could be short-tempered. She was Australian.
Okay, hang on. Should we bring him back in for the rest of the
Yeah, we can bring him back at this point now.
Keith, come back!
Do you have the intercom hooked up to the soundproof room so that you can...
Apparently not. There he is. Okay.
Okay.
Don't read.
Does it say... You need to not look at that email.
He's going to continue the email.
I'll continue reading.
Okay, you continue.
We just... We read over the spoiler part.
Okay. There was a potential spoiler
for you. Spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning for you, so... For everybody else, it's spoiler warning ahead. For you, it's go away!
Go to your room! Go to your room!
Go to your room!
Go outside!
Where was I? I think J&T should have trusted Davison more to do work like he did in Frontios. Not worried about an ensemble, just giving him one companion. I think Tegan would have worked better with Colin Baker, especially if you've seen that skit. I think it was from Blue Peter. But I do like the way the Fifth Doctor and Tegan work together. She could push him to see more than his usually optimistic view on everything, and he needed that. Finally, I admit that when Janet Fielding joined the show, I was 15, 16, and she made a huge impression on me. I never knew short hair could be so attractive. Remember, this was the 80s. And I'll never forget the outfit she wore in Resurrection of the Daleks, black leather skirt and all. Even now, nothing bores me more than a woman who never disagrees or argues with me. I like feisty. Thanks, Tegan. Scott from Philly. P.S. I think the Shaka Doctor should be from the same dimension where Rose, Tyler, and her family live now.
Ooh.
New Big Finish series. And again, Scott, I apologize because, like I said, there's a few of them out there that we're trying to keep from the newbie. Or you're not a newbie anymore. You're a novice. We're trying to keep from the novice. And so that was kind of one of them. I will admit, though, when I read this, I thought to myself, there's something to be said for that. He makes some very valid points about Tegan. I mean, we've, you know, mouth with legs and all that. But she does steer Davison in a way that might be needed because of his doctor's kind of, I don't say wishy-washy, but... He's so low-key about so much that sometimes you need her in there pushing his button to get him to react to things. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're... I think I could see that.
I don't know all of his points.
It doesn't mean I'm going to like Tegan anymore based on that, but it may give me maybe a more of appreciation.
I have a new appreciation for her after reading this email. Absolutely, I do. I hadn't thought of that before. Although, I agree with the outfits. Short hair, black leather skirt. I'm with you, Scott.
Well, thanks for writing that, Scott, and coming to the defense of Tegan as a companion.
And hi to everybody in Philly. We have to add a pushpin to our wall now.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Why don't we really have a
we should.
A map? We could have a map on a little piece of corkboard and pushpins. We need to do that.
I'm pretty sure we could do that digitally.
I'm sure we could.
Yeah.
Google Maps.
Can't Siri do that for us?
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Time Lash.
You blocked her too, didn't you?
I did.
Did we have any other feedback, or was that it?
That was it.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, short feedback.
All righty. Let's get
it. That's why we went so long in what we did this week, because we knew we had little feedback.
Is that why we did? Yeah, okay.
Time Lash. The TARDIS gets caught in the Time Lash, a powerful time corridor that brings the Doctor and Perry to the troubled planet of Carful. The planet is on the brink of war and ruled by an insane and much-feared dictator who punishes the Carfalons by throwing them into the Time Lash. But why is their leader never seen in person?
Because he's fugly.
And what links Carful with the 19th century Scotland and a young writer named Herbert? The Doctor arrives just in time to find out.
Dun, dun, dun.
I really enjoyed this story.
This is one that I'd seen years and years and years ago. And I don't think I ever saw all of it. It was just kind of one of those bits and pieces ones that I tuned in one night and was like, what is this? Oh, this has got to be Doctor Who. This show's still on? And, you know, just a little bit of it. I think I saw the end of it. And then, this was kind of really my first real viewing of it.
That's kind of funny that you say that, because I came across it the same way when I was a kid. I was kind of revisiting Doctor Who here and there, and I think I caught the last... well, when it aired here, it aired in four parts, and I think I even caught the last of the four parts here.
Wouldn't it be weird if we were watching the same broadcast? Nothing would surprise me anymore.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Likely it probably wasn't, because I don't think they played them at the same time. Depending on your PBS station, mine would have been the Wichita PBS station. Yours would have been the Kansas City one.
Oh, that's true.
But
thanks
anyway,
for ruining that.
Yeah, sorry. I was the same way though. I think I came across this and just saw a piece of it. But now I had, before this week's viewing, had seen it more recently than that. So I came to it again, and I think I liked it better on this viewing. Maybe because it.
You have to kind of. When you remember last week when he's like, "What are we doing?" Oh, we had a time lash, and he picked up the DVD cover and he looked at it and went, "Oh, I remember this one."
There's a lot of interesting concepts presented in this, I think.
Let me put this in perspective. When the last time I watched this is when I sat down and I watched, because I had left off at Peter Davison, and I had only seen pieces of Colin Baker. When I went back and started picking up Who again in the late 90s, early 2000s, and really sitting down and getting focused on it again, I watched Colin Baker's season from beginning to end, is what I did. And so I had already seen a few, well, several Colin Bakers up to this point. So I think maybe, I don't know if I was tired of Colin Baker at this point, or if I, so I think maybe that kind of painted my picture of this story. Coming back and watching it individually, especially after enjoying some of Colin Baker's Big Finish audios over the years, I think I've come back and had a new appreciation for this story, and I think that's why I enjoyed it better this time. I think there were things I could glean from it that I thought were a lot better than the first time I watched it. So I think that, put in that perspective, I think that's why it was more enjoyable, because I had stepped away from, I wasn't mainlining Colin Baker by this time. And this isn't too far into his run, but
it's five in.
Yeah. So, but I had already seen, I had seen half of his season. So, or half of his run by this time. So let's talk a little bit about the story. It's an interesting story.
There's a lot of good ideas, and some of it's fleshed out well. Some's not so much.
It's borrowed though, because it's a tyrannical despot who has taken over a society and has basically turned it into a dictatorship. He's oppressing a lot of the planet's past and its history. He's also under the guise of something else because of what
Professor Cronotis.
What he really looks like. Exactly. He's using an old man as his projected persona.
Yes,
and it has basically pulled the wool over the eyes of this people. He's shut off the allying planet. Which is you know, they rely
land of
on
the sock people.
Yes. And they rely on this planet for their food exports, and which they're not getting now. So I mean, it's concepts that have been there in science fiction and any kind of fiction for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But they're all kind of combined together and put together with this time lash device.
which
is sort of a time tunnel.
More tunnel than lash.
Yeah,
I don't quite understand. Yeah, they're banished. Does this kill them?
From what I can understand, it sends them back to this 12th century.
Well, yeah,
ordinarily
but
they kill them.
The woman was intercepted.
No, wait a minute, wait. It sends. From what I understood, is the perceived notion is that it banishes them. And it doesn't kill them. It ultimately kills them because they go off and perish somewhere else. But in the doctor's reasoning of where this is going, he first talks about it going to the 12th century.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's where they go. So we assume, based on what's happening, they're going to the 12th century and living out their time in 12th century Earth. Everybody just thinks they're dead and suffering somewhere.
The kind of a weeping angel.
The reason why she ends up in the 19th century Yeah, 19th century.
It's because of the TARDIS.
It's because the TARDIS basically bounces her into a different time stream, and she lands with Herbert in Scotland in the 1800s.
See, I was under the impression they were killed.
See, but I thought that the first time I watched this. On this time watching it, I may have just misunderstood this.
I remember him saying something, the time tunnel connected to 12th century or whatever.
And Perry says, well, that wouldn't be so bad living out your years in 12th century.
And she said, oh, that's a place I've never been.
Yeah, exactly. She makes the comment about how she'd never been there.
That's
so,
a horrible weapon.
I get. Well, that's just it, though. But
well, that's the Weeping Angels' weapon.
Perceivably from the planet, they don't know this. They just they think that they're being banished off to some,
or pushed in the time
Neverland
in the time lash
and
killed
they die.
In the time
exactly.
Lash.
Yeah. So they to them that is ultimate punishment. Nobody's come back from the time lash. So perceivably, it's a bad thing. So it still works on the surface of. It's a useful weapon because you're going to be sent away and presumably killed.
Which is great for the rebels.
Right. I mean, it's certainly better than getting shot by that ray that ages you really super fast.
I thought that was a decent effect for the time.
It was pretty good, yeah.
It was really cool.
Just going and then becoming the skeleton.
Which in... You saw them gray too.
Uh-huh.
That's what was impressive.
Yeah, you saw it was just quickly, but you saw
it was quickly. But and it seemed like the first time they did it, it was a little bit slower, just so you got the idea of what they were doing.
Yes, it was a much better effect the first time they did it.
Yeah.
The second one, I don't know if it was just the way the skeleton fell that it was going to clump. Well, that looked like somebody dropped a skeleton.
But that's just it, though. You don't see as much of the effect. So I think the idea is because you got to see it once, you already know what it does. So
I'm not complaining at all because. I liked it. I liked almost everything about it.
Well, and the reason why the 12th century is important is because isn't that as long back as they've been seen the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah.
And that's where creature ends up going to. So they believe that that's where...
Where
Nessie comes from.
Yeah.
Or that's what is implied.
Possibly.
They don't say it outright, implied. But... Well, he must really
although there
evolve
is another,
more.
There's another theory in the Doctor universe, but we'll visit that later.
Hmm. I thought his motivations were interesting. That he was trying to make more like him, I guess. I mean,
See, I never got that impression, Keith.
Well, he was getting a bride. And
he was, but that's just it. He wanted to, initially, he was going to kill everything with a central nervous system. Except for the Morlocks, and reign as king over them. But then you get the impression he gets smitten by Perry.
Well, weren't we all?
but impressed. And so he wants to mutate her so that she looks. That's the thing that bothers the heck out of me. Is every time there's some disfigured ruler, they want to disfigure their bride
just so that they won't love anybody. They can't love anybody else,
right? But here's the problem I have with that. If she's gonna kill, if he's gonna kill everybody anyway, why not keep her beautiful?
So
she's not gonna be able to love anybody else. She's not gonna love him even if she's disfigured. I'm sorry.
That's true.
So
let's
just keep her pretty and keep her as a slave love anyway. I mean, come on. It just didn't make any sense.
I think that probably had more to do with a breeding plan.
That way
the impression though that it changes their DNA. It just disfigures them. I guess it does.
Wouldn't disfiguring change the DNA?
Well, now here's the thing. It doesn't change
the DNA.
In this way though,
he is.
And I guess the gas, whatever they're going to use on her, it does. They said it mixes species or something, doesn't it? Or something.
Well,
like
that was he was hoping to recreate the accident that would the creature would become enraged and then.
Become part
fusion
of her.
Would
yeah,
happen.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
so that's true. So. I guess maybe for breeding, that was a.
So he's hoping to send his progeny to the Morlocks later.
So
and Perry's role in this was very disappointing for me. She was truly relegated to subpar companion of getting captured and being in danger and the whole nine yards.
Well, and
companion
again,
quota.
We have an interesting guest star.
Oh, yes.
Really liked. And so the companion takes the back burner
because Herbert is so awesome.
We're putting this focus on Herbert.
Well, that's what happens. From the get-go, we get the guest companion in this much late into it, which I thought was interesting because we get a whole half of that first part before Renner even introduced to Herbert. Well, although we don't get a lot of the Doctor and Perry interacting with the planet until about halfway through that because a lot of their interaction is on the TARDIS and hooking them up with themselves up with the seatbelts, <you know? laughs> which is the first time we see seatbelts in the TARDIS, which explains why the 9th, 10th, and 11th Doctor have seats in their TARDIS so that you can sit down and buckle yourself in instead of riding the straps, you know?
I tweeted this on Friday Night Who, that somehow the idea of Perry being strapped down in my head always played out a little differently.
I've been dominating the conversation. You guys talk a little bit about it. I don't. There's
those
are some of the issues I have. The story on the surface is pretty good.
It's enjoyable despite its flaws.
Yes,
I will agree with.
I agree.
There are flaws with it, no doubt, but overall, it's enjoyable, and I think Herbert plays a huge part in it. I don't think if Herbert wasn't there, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. If it was the Doctor just running off and doing these things. But the way the Doctor interacts with him is so good, and you don't agree?
I don't think it's any different than Perry.
He belittles Perry every chance he gets.
The same relationship and the same fights, essentially, that Herbert, although Herbert is doing it from a fresh point of view. He doesn't understand all this stuff, and
maybe
they're still bickering as much as I think it was the same. Now, I enjoyed Herbert, don't get me wrong.
Maybe he has more of a backbone to the Doctor where Perry doesn't.
No.
Where Perry almost takes his crap.
Herbert didn't have a backbone to the Doctor at all. He never once stood up to the Doctor every time the Doctor said, no, we can't do this because of this. No, I know more about this because of this. He still doesn't
listen to the Doctor and goes off and does his own thing and sneaks onto the TARDIS repeatedly.
That's what I liked about Herbert was the fact that, he was defiant enough to sneak onto the TARDIS. He was at the end, although he has no backbone because he decides he's going to stay there, and then all the Doctor has to do is call for him, and he's like, oh, okay, goodbye, and he starts shaking hands. I mean, it's...
I guess that's true.
He doesn't have a scar.
It just feels more abrasive and abusive to Perry than it does to Herbert.
The Sixth Doctor and Perry have an old married couple relationship.
They have an old married, about-to-be-divorced couple relationship. they just haven't filed the paperwork yet.
In a lot of ways, it's almost a carryover of Tegan. With that kind of,
but almost reversed.
It's button pushing, but it's Perry from the standpoint that she comes to the Doctor with a legitimate question. So why are we doing this? And the Doctor kind of goes, and then she kind of backs down. But she's still fuming about it. So then 10 minutes later, she's going to come and go, well, what about this? And he's going to go,
I think that's what I don't like about the Sixth Doctor, is he goes, whenever a question's asked.
They have a very interesting, and I've read reports that apparently both Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant have kind of complained about the way they were written and pushed to play that, because that wasn't the relationship that they saw that they should have.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they're very good friends to this day kind of lends credence to that.
She came off of having a pretty good rapport with Davison's Doctor as well. That's what's odd about this. Of course, we start the regeneration with a strangulation. We get a rocky start, so...
It just seems like it's Perry, because doing this out of order and hearing Six... with Evelyn, he's not that way with her.
But he's not even that much that way with Perry in the Big Finish audios. I think that's the only thing.
He was in Whispers of Terror.
Maybe there's an attempt to do that because they're trying to match the...
I could see that.
The era, but...
There may
it's
have
not
been,
as bad.
You know, to sit down and go, we're going to do Doctor Who. Okay, we've got to kind of... It's got to be Doctor Who. We've got to get it. And then maybe somewhere along the line, they went, wait a minute.
But quite frankly, by the time...
we fix Doctor Who? If we're going to do it, let's do it the way it should have been done.
By the time Trial of the Time Lord comes around, though, I think the Doctor and Perry have a lot better relationship. And I think part of that is the fact that, came back, they were trying something different because they had been on hiatus. And I think even the producers realized, wait a minute, or Jonathan Nathan Turner, the people that were running the show, essentially said, maybe we got to try not to be so abrasive between the two. But
that
anyway,
may be, because
neither here nor there this week.
There's an episode in season 23, isn't it? That season that you're talking about that I've seen. And he doesn't seem as mean.
Yeah. The relationship certainly got better, I think.
It does. As they go. It mellows.
He mellows out. That's
and
what it is. Yeah.
Well, I think because he starts off so abrasive. And he kind of mellows as he comes along with it. And I think Perry begins to kind of accept him a little bit more.
Yes.
She's kind of going through Rose syndrome, where it's like, well, you're the doctor, but you're not my doctor. What happened to the blonde guy? You know, you're not quite him. And I think she starts to, because he's all over the board, and she's not sure where she stands with him, which leads to that. And then it gets better as it goes. Now, I do not in any way dispute what you're saying. I agree with you. I think there's a lot of times where it borders on abuse.
Yes.
Because it's so condescending and it's so angry. I mean, Perry is a botany student. She's kind of, you know, young, fresh out of water.
I don't know that. But.
And, you know, she's not stupid. I mean, she's not Martha Jones as far as being a doctor. But she's on that course of study. To learn something new. But what I think is interesting is for all of the gritching and arguing that go on between the two of them, he is always the first person...
He does defend her.
...to threaten someone when she's in danger.
Yes.
I mean, that is true.
That's true. I give him credit for that.
He flat out tells these people, I will hurt you if you've done something to her. And I've always thought that was really interesting. It's like they have this really interesting relationship, but they don't know how to express it.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to act together, which is really kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
But you have to look at it as a whole, because if you pull one segment out of it, you're just like, why is he yelling at her all the time?
Yeah.
So.
Which, and not seeing it as a whole, seeing it and not in order, seeing the random episodes that I do, he's abusive to her.
Well, I'm in the same boat. I can only come at it as a whole from the background knowledge that I have, because I still haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I come with a lot of these later episodes, I come in them in the same boat as you, as it's the first time that I've seen them. And this one, this is one of those interesting things. We've actually had a couple people that have tweeted the last couple of weeks, and there have been the little comments about, oh my God, you're watching that one?
Why?
Why? The one last week was somebody's watching that on purpose.
That was during Friday Night Who.
It was just an accidental, you stumbled across it, and it still happens to be on while you're vacuuming the apartment or something. I mean, it was very kind of, why are you watching that? And now we've both come to these having not seen them.
Oh, yeah.
And both really liked them. And my response to the people who were kind of wondering, why are you making Keith sit through this, and why have you not shown him something like Caves of Androzani or, Towns of Winchester?
And maybe because I haven't seen those things... I don't know how high the bar can be for Classic Who.
Well, that's part of it.
I mean if we go all the way back, Mercus.
Yeah, early. we wanted to shoot down any illusions.
I have low expectations of anything Classic Who.
Let's see. You've seen three in a row, Keith.
Oh.
No, you've seen four in a row.
Oh.
You saw Vengeance and Varos. You didn't see him in a row, but you've seen four of these in a row. Vengeance and Varos, The Mark of the Rani, Two Doctor. Oh, you did! The five!
I've seen this entire season.
You have seen all but... Oh, you saw Revelation, too. You have seen almost all of Tom Baker's run. Colin Baker's run.
I've seen a full season of Twin Classic Dilemma. Doctor Who.
There you're not missing out. So you've seen Attack of Cybermen, which would have been the first of this season.
Yes.
Because Twin Dilemma would have been the end of the 21st season. Vengeance and Varos. Mark of the Rani, Two Doctors, Time Lash, and Revelation of the Daleks.
At this point...
So you have not seen...
It's the long and the short.
I haven't seen
the first or the last.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The idea maybe now is to go back and see these in order. Watch these again in
Maybe
order
I should.
That, yeah. You get more of a perspective.
After Sean puts a trial on the or Twin Dilemma on his schedule. Maybe I can go back and rewatch him in order.
Well, maybe we ought to get Twin Dilemma out of the way before he watches Trial. That way he's seen.
Oh, I definitely plan to watch Twin Dilemma before Trial.
So
okay,
good. Well, yeah, because you still have lost your 50 pounds.
So, but you know, I would argue to the people that question it, I say that you know we have to break it up a little bit because I don't want to show him this is all of the goodness that there is, and then you're done. You don't have to worry about it because everything else will suck at this point. But the name of our podcast is Traveling the Vortex. We're bouncing around.
That's great.
And we are presenting, we've often said, know who is bad who, and right. Who is good who.
Well,
but yet we're looking at it as a warts and all approach.
And we've come down on some of the classics.
Yeah.
As not that great, especially in Tom Baker era.
What I don't understand
is held up on such a high pedestal.
Yeah, and I agree. And what I don't understand is the people who are so down on the 80s era in general. Oh, that one sucks. That one's terrible. And the reviews that I read on Time Lash just bleeding red ink for how bad this thing is. And you know what? Almost all of them made some sort of reference to the sock puppets. The really bad dinosaur in the
that's
sewer.
Problem, and that's
the,
a problem.
You know, well, the dinosaur was better than the Silurian's dinosaur.
Yeah, but you're also talking about a 12-year gap.
So well, yeah, but
12-year difference.
It's still Doctor Who.
Not even that much. 10-year difference.
How long has it been since the Merca?
Well, yeah.
Who explained that?
I know, but still,
we went in depth on why the Merca wasn't.
But yes, that's an issue though as well.
But I just,
another thing that people point to is the elongated ending of it, the stretching this thing out to eat up that last 15 minutes.
That's
bad too.
That
don't get
weak.
Me wrong.
Yeah,
it is still stretched out.
I think there's a difference between if you want to point out, hey, Doctor Who's never had the strongest production value or they've never had the best special effects, that's fine. If you want to harp on it and say this is the reason the story falls down,
then you're,
it's the same reason that people that don't like Time Flight. Oh, because prehistoric Earth sucked and the Concorde looked ridiculous.
Yeah, see, now...
I don't get that.
I don't buy that either, and I always ignore people that point to the production values, because like you said, if you're watching classic Doctor Who for production value, then you're not going to enjoy it. It's just not going to happen.
It's not for you!
It's not, exactly. It's not going to happen. So, I'm the same way. I totally ignore those people that say, well, this is... why did this... However, I will fall down on the side of that the one downfall of this is the fact that we dispatch of the villain two-thirds of the way into this.
Which, in a very clever way to dispatch him.
20 minutes trying to stop a war from happening. That it is a result of all of this setup. But it's way too much. There's way too much, even as much as I like Herbert, there's way too much interaction between the Doctor and Herbert. And that is dragged out way too long, their whole flying up there to block this missile.
Yeah.
That's way too
minutes
long.
Is just,
yeah, I mean,
in
it's
general.
Just, there's way too much of that going on. And yeah, I just, that is a problem for me with this story.
I liked the concept of let's do this ending. Where we've dispatched the bad guy, and then all of a sudden it's like,
oh, wait, this is going
that's
on?
That's it? We're done. What else do you have? What other housekeeping do you have to do? Oh, we've got to stop this war. Okay. Go stop the war. I mean, I didn't know where they were going.
There was
it.
Also a scene that could have been eliminated that wouldn't have needed this whole
but then to pull
tag
the diehard ending, where all of a sudden the villain comes back, and it's like, okay, wait.
Yeah.
what happened there? I liked the idea of that. I think they dropped the ball. I think it was poorly handled. He's a clone. Okay. How does that work, and how many more of him are there?
Right.
They never talk.
They never did. They don't go back there.
Because that could
That's
have
right.
been an interesting
no,
thing. That there's a whole army of these guys locked up in incubators
absolutely.
Or something that have to be dealt with.
I think another thing that I don't like, I mean, or this probably weakens, is who's the writer of this?
Glenn McCoy
submitted this as a Dalek story originally.
So it would have been Davros and the Daleks?
Well, I don't know if Davros had been in it, but but he was asked to bring it back and take the Daleks out of it. And I wonder how much of the... When I look at the end of the story, I can see where perhaps if it had been Davros, we can eliminate Davros, but we still have the Daleks to deal with.
That makes sense.
Well, I mean,
but when it just happens to be exactly
at that point.
Exactly. So that I can understand, but
well, and they
I
built,
think it could have been reworked
up
in such a way
almost,
too.
Because I thought of this while watching it, that they built him up almost Davros-like, hiding who he was, hiding his face so much.
Likely, it probably was Davros originally in that story.
So. That's interesting. I did not.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I think is.
We should also talk about the reveal at the end of who Herbert is.
Yeah, that was neat the first time I saw it.
Which, and going into it, I didn't know this, obviously. And even before, I can't remember when.
I almost spoiled that for you last week. I was kicking myself after I said it because I was like.
The Morlock reference. I was like, oh, they're taking an idea from the Time Machine.
Well,
no.
Island of Dr. Moreau is even, I mean, with the melding of the species.
I didn't think of that until you mentioned it.
That's
and until I knew there was H.G. Wells, too.
Right.
Knowing that's who it is, that's so cool.
You don't see that until after you realize
It's fun how much they give you, and yet it's not there. I don't know of anybody that made the connection beforehand. I don't know of anybody.
No.
And watching it as a group, I mean, I knew it was coming because I'd seen the very end of it, but there was a lot that, you know, I didn't remember about the story, but I remember that part of it. And then it was fun to watch him go off and Chrissy go off and all of the Friday Night Movie. Oh, that's awesome. And all of them had the same reaction. Why don't people like this story? Because that part of it is handled so well.
Yeah, that one is, and that I think is what makes it hands and above other stories as far as storyline goes. Is that they're able to carry that through, make us like that character, and then turn around and give us that nice payoff reveal at the end.
There's so many hints. You know, Herbert, Scotland, 18th century, 1885, and then Morlocks. And there's so much of it that's just kind of laid there. But we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to discuss it. And then all of a sudden, it's up to you to connect the dots at the end and go, I should have seen that coming. There's a lot of this that is very fun. And you know, I'll be honest, we, as with a lot of who, when it comes to Friday night, you start poking fun at it. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing was, you're going to be sentenced to the time lash. And I kept tweeting out, you're going to narfle the Garthunk. Because it just seemed like that was the mentality of these leaders is, go fight the impossible thing. Go die.
Right.
Yeah. And then, when we get it twice, because we get two attempts in the time lash where people are sentenced to it, but then we get the whole, let's go down in the sewer and put you in there with the Morlock thing, and it's really bad rubber dinosaur comes out.
Well, and the design of the time lash.
Did anybody think that the dinosaur had kind of almost a cutesy face to it, too?
It looked kind of like Baby.
You remember that dinosaur movie?
Yes.
It reminded
That's me
what
a lot
it reminded
of
me of.
And then... Well, Glenn, I wanted to ask you about the sock puppet aliens because, well, they were kind of snake-like with teeth. Were they anthropomorphized in your mind?
No.
They were human-shaped. They were talking snakes. Not anthropomorphic.
You guys say that. I didn't see them as snakes. I just saw them as reptilian, but not snakes.
Yeah.
No. With great dental
I was okay with that. On the other hand, I am more forgiving with Classic Who because Classic Who has a
more
plethora of imaginary
that's true.
Aliens. And when you have a few that are anthropomorphized, animals or people or whatever, characters, then I don't have so much of a problem with it because there's – but it's when the new series and it's dominated by that, that's where I have the issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going to get anything out of him there. What about the third Doctor reference? The fact that we get this whole backstory.
That was so great. The backstory that never happened.
Yeah.
Because I looked this up as soon as they were like, you've been here before. What? And I looked to Sean.
And he did. He shot me a look like, why didn't we watch that one?
We missed this one?
And I had to wave him off. Didn't happen. Don't worry about it. It was
and
off camera.
It's so cool that the fact that they had this mural of Pertwee, the third Doctor, the picture of Joe.
In the locket.
of all the doctors to call back to.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious choice, especially at this point in the run, is Tom and Sarah.
Actually, I had read that the original idea was it was going to be the first doctor, Annie and Barbara, and that's why, what's it, Trekkin? The guy that's the Marion or Marianne.
Well, that kind of makes sense if it's a Dalek story.
Well, he says when they come out of the... What is it? Trekker. When they come out of the TARDIS, he says, only one companion or something to that effect. And they think that was... they think that's a callback to the fact that originally it was supposed to be right. Well,
apparently in novel form.
So some people wonder if Yates or somebody else had traveled with him. Now,
in novel form, it
hasn't happened in the novels either. Okay. There have been passing references and a story that's similar to and mentions those.
Yeah.
And it does have Captain Yates traveling with him. But this story has technically the prequel to this still technically has not officially been done in its entirety.
Yeah. Which so. I would love to read if they did, because obviously they can't do it in audio.
Right.
But reading it would be fantastic, because it'd be a completely different story than this.
Yeah. Yeah. It
completely
would be.
Different. There's no...
Well, one would hope that it wouldn't be Peladon 2.
But at least in my mind, there's... Whatever the Doctor went through the first time led to this man becoming Emperor.
Yeah. And kind of rose.
So it's
a
setup to this.
It really is. So it's kind of
it's his build up, but
the Doctor screwed up.
Yeah, it really
he's
does.
He's got to come back to clean up the mess now.
That's another thing that makes this story heads and above some of the others.
It's a wonderful thing. And this is something that I it wasn't until we watched this that I kind of began to notice that there's a lot of callbacks in the Colin Baker era. Because we had in the whole gargantuan backstory in the Attack of the Cybermen that kind of harkened back to the Patrick Troughton era.
Yeah.
And then we get Patrick Troughton and Jamie in the two Doctors.
That's true.
And now we've got this reference with the third Doctor and this one. So there's a lot of backtracking to older adventures and kind of calling back on that history. Of course, Source of All Wisdom Wiki makes reference to the fact that the adventure with the third Doctor and Joe has yet to appear in any spin-off media, although the Virgin Missing Adventures novel Speed of Flight by Paul Leonard mentions the third Doctor and his companions, Joe Grant and Mike Yates, are on their way to Carful at the start of that particular story. Right. And Joe mentions visiting Carful in the Sarah Jane Adventure story.
And I didn't think of that until this time, and I sort of recalled that. I was like,
that's really cool.
Yeah. So somebody was doing their homework on that one.
To even mention something that happened untelevised.
Yeah.
I think that's very clever.
All right. Anything else about this story?
Paul Darrow, who was the bad guy. The chewing scenery by Guy Trekker had previously appeared.
Oh, I don't think he was over the top at all.
I don't think he was that bad.
Well, maybe not chewing scenery in the same sense that we had recently. But the very way he walked around and had his cape on.
He was pompous and full of himself.
Let me rephrase.
He really, and a bit sinister.
He really enjoyed being the villain. Not in a over-the-top way. But just in a, I'm the bad guy, and I mean, he really relished being.
No, I completely disagree.
I
thought he was just the right amount of bad guy there.
Well he was so much wacky, anyways.
Yeah, he was a really bad guy in Doctor Who and the Silurians.
Yes,
he was Captain Hawkins,
and apparently he was on Blake 7.
And then Dennis Carey, obviously, as you mentioned, was Professor Chronotis in Shada. And he is yet to appear for you. He will be the keeper in Keeper of Trekker.
Yes. So. A familiar face.
And this one, this was a fun one that I didn't catch. We talked about, obviously, the Time Machine and Island of Dr. Moreau. The story also apparently makes a reference to War of the Worlds, which I didn't catch, and The Invisible Man, which I didn't think about when he goes into the time shift.
Yeah, the time shift.
War of the Worlds, the look of the sock puppet aliens is almost the eye stock for the classic movie.
It's an invading force coming to nuke the planet.
Yeah, that
maybe
too.
It's that simple. I think eye stock's probably a little, because as written, they're tripods. So
yeah, but you don't see the rest of the body.
I think you're stretching.
I'm just saying, you don't see the rest of the body.
I think you're stretching there. But so Time Lash, I think, what, three thumbs up around the table here?
We yeah, I one. Would give it a mid thumbs up.
I'd buy it used.
Well, you know, that's obviously the end-all be-all of what matters. Keith would buy it used.
And your, rewatch it.
And rewatch it. So there's your...
That's a statement in and of itself.
Let's move on to Whispers of Terror.
This is one, yes. The Doctor and Perry find themselves in the Museum of Aural Antiquities, where every sound is stored for posterity.
You say Aural for the...
Aural?
Ozark.
Aural. From the speeches of Vistine Crane to security service wiretaps and interrogation tapes. But they also find an intruder, mysterious changed recordings, and a dead body. Before long, the Doctor realizes there is more going on than a simple break-in or murder. How can he defeat a creature that is made of pure sound?
Dun, dun, dun. I don't have that one pulled up. Do you want that one?
That's this one for me. To be honest,
this
it was
a total fail for me, too.
For me, it was better than the last Davidson we did. The one we did last week.
What was that? Winter for the Adept.
Yeah, Winter for the Adept. It was slightly better.
Winter for the Adept was better than
that. I liked this one better than Phantasmagoria. I liked it better than Land of the Dead. I know Keith liked it better than that one.
Wait, this one?
Minuet in Hell.
No, Minuet in Hell is still lower.
Really? Well, that's why I said you liked this
one. Yeah, I like this one better.
So that's not as bad as you're making it out to be.
It's not that good.
There are a lot of ideas in this that I think are very cool. I like the idea of a villain or a monster that's made a sound.
I just wish that it wasn't a human somehow. They didn't really explain a good way how he transferred his consciousness and only sound. They said, oh, he hooked himself up to this machine.
Yeah.
It was a MacGuffin. A Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that part I did not like.
I didn't like the woman.
She didn't have so much the that woman. Problem either, except for it was more of a, Deus Ex Machina. It was more of a birth of a creature type thing, and it still maintained his consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not like he
I
basically
honestly was okay.
It's
with
not like he transcended into another being. It was like
But in the end, he did.
Well,
that's the problem I had with it.
That's not the impression that I got.
Well, but the fact that after...
He had enough of the consciousness.
They transmit the silenceness and cancel out the signal. He's fully restored.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's no longer corrupt.
Right.
He's no longer trying to kill anybody.
You're right.
And he was corrupt and trying to kill people before she even started torturing him.
That's right.
So if it were just this random sound monster,
I'd
be okay with it.
He was killing those connected to her, initially.
Yeah, that's true. It's still, he's not fully there. He can't fully communicate. It's not until that point.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I understand the ideas they're trying to do with this, especially it's an audio adventure. Okay, let's have something that can be audio only. Yeah. I understand where their logic went for that story, but it doesn't work.
How many times have you heard this, Sean?
Just the once.
Just the once.
Yeah.
And you weren't confused until about two-thirds of the way through?
I wasn't that confused.
The first part, the first segment.
I thought the first two parts were
I was a little confused at, but I was...
I mean, it makes sense after you get to a certain point. Everything kind of falls into place.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But
as
I just,
with a lot of
I felt, I felt like, this one more so than any of them. I felt like this one was just here and there, and what added to the confusion was the fact that they were being very creative or trying to be very creative and different with the audio, the way that they were utilizing the audio was as...
Which, for me, was hard to understand.
It was hard to understand. It was hard to follow. It was... and that was probably part of the process of confusing the listener and making the listener feel sort of out of sorts in order to invoke some sort of emotion there, but it just didn't work for me. It was really kind of grating there for a while. That you
like
just
transitioning back and forth from like the audio PA
system and
we're actually in this room.
But that wasn't even the problem. It was whenever we have the when they're editing together the sound and they're altering it and they're doing the speed up, slow down. It's not you don't quite understand what they're doing, even though they're trying to kind of convey to you what they're doing. And then any time that the entity, the audio entity, ends up happening, you hear all the little whispers in the background, which I think is part of the title, obviously.
Yes.
The callback to the title. But then it's not always in a cohesive sound. It's always kind of all over the place, and it's utilizing the different, you know, the voices that it's right. It's mimicking, which is fine. I understand the gimmick there and the idea, but it was a little too unsettling and confusing for a long time, and I didn't like that. I wanted it to be a little more put forth, you know what I mean, and a little more not obvious of who it was or what was going on. I still wanted them to build that mystery, but it was almost like it was just poorly mixed, you know what I mean?
Okay. I'll buy that for a dollar.
And I also had issues with...
The gimmick was poorly mixed, is what I mean.
The motivation of the woman. And I feel like they didn't fully explain why she was changing what the audio and what she was doing. I mean, I know she was altering speeches to ensure her endorsement.
Well, because he didn't really endorse her, but the impression that they leave is that he did. And so that's the audio they're going to play so that it secures her candidacy.
I just don't think they fully explore that enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I got that. In fact, I got that early on, that's why she was, because they talk about them manipulating the audio. So I knew that she had to be manipulating the audio because he didn't really say what she... is, you know, was she wanted him to have said. So now I didn't realize there was so much playing into it that she had actually
killed him.
I kind of
suspected that early on.
It was a Manson thing where she sent somebody to kill them for her. But
I kind of suspected once they played that bit of audio of "there's a gun to my head," I kind of expected I expected she was the one with the gun, not that it was her lackey. But,
well, I don't know. I thought they were doing a good job of giving her an alibi by having the, you know, because that was one thing that was used well throughout this story. Was anytime anyone was somewhere else, you knew who was on the intercom in another area, and who wasn't by I don't know what they call that, a keen of the mic or keen off of the mic, always happened on the end of the person that was away's voice.
Yeah.
So if the doctor was away, the keen off of the mic happened after his voice, but if he was in the room, perceivably where we were supposed to be at listening to this, it didn't key off. So I mean, it was like that with anybody that was close away.
But when we first heard this, it was the monster. So I didn't hear when the monster was playing it back the first time, and that's when I suspected.
That's interesting because that part of the story I bought into that. I knew that she was, you know, from the get-go, I thought, this woman is up to no good, and she's altering these tapes for something, and then, oh, is this a political thing? Well, obviously, he didn't endorse her, and she's changing it. I cued into that very early, but I didn't suspect that she killed him. I thought he did commit suicide and threw a huge monkey wrench into her plan.
Yeah. Well, I did, too.
Up until, you know...
I got the impression, maybe... not the reasons why she killed him, the fact that she didn't endorse him, or he didn't endorse her, more of it was a power grab. Well, with you out of the way, I could step up and take your place.
I didn't gather that as opposed to being
VP.
I didn't get that as well.
I got the impression that early on enough that
he had killed himself, but I believed early on that he had said things against her that wasn't going to secure her presidency or her candidacy. However, on the flip side of that, I thought that he had killed himself before he could be forced to change it or that. Right. So I went along that impression as well, that he had offed himself and was quite surprised by the fact. Now, there's at one point where you get the impression in one of the playbacks that there's somebody in the room with a gun, but I still, again, didn't get the impression it was her because you heard the key off of the mic.
See, I guess I just missed the key offs during the first playthrough.
Oh, jeez. And then, obvious as heck.
And then after that,
that's what it
was more obvious, but then I already had in my mind that she was at least played a large part in it, so I didn't pay much attention to that.
I don't know why the doors had to be lethally electrified either. That was kind of bizarre. Well, I mean, it's a way to dispatch gotta kill somebody. Yeah, but it just...
I did like the way the crane killed her lackey. And I did not suspect the fact that this guy studying and
I didn't suspect
the blind professor or curator...
Took me way too long to figure out, too, that the curator was blind.
I got that fairly early on.
Thought I should have got that very... In fact, I was kicking myself later for not. But it wasn't until he was saying, come back and show you this, Will, or tell you about this later. You know, it was then I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense why. But, I mean, it makes sense why he was the curator. He'd be more attuned audially. But, yeah, I didn't think that was...
And conveyed
well enough or quick soon enough. But while I just missed it.
Cool that guy was Crane the entire time. It also is part of why I don't like the story. Is that consciousness is there the entire time, obviously. Yeah. Because he's guising as somebody else. So it's. They don't explain it good enough. That's the problem.
I'll give you that. What about the Doctor and Perry? I mean, this was the first... I think maybe that was one of the reasons why I liked it, because this was... I'd always heard, oh, wait till you get to the Colin Baker Big Finish audios. They'll totally, you know, explain, and you'll get it when you start listening to them. And so this was the first one, other than Sirens of Time, that we got some Colin Baker. And while I admit I don't like... This is probably my least favorite of the ones we've reviewed so far. I definitely, I hope that doesn't come down on Perry, because I really, really, really like Evelyn. But, you know, I think this is the weakest of the ones we've done with him, but I still really enjoy
these
it.
These are definitely the weakest of the ones we've done with Six Doctor, yes.
The Perry relationship, as we talked about, continues in this.
It does,
It's not as bad.
It's not as abrasive, but no,
they
still
a lot
there.
Of time separated in this one.
That's
too.
True, yeah, so yeah. That helps. And he does, it's almost like he forgets. Like, somebody threatens her, and he stands up for her, but then she's off doing her own thing, and he completely forgets he even has a companion.
Yeah.
And...
But I think that was typical of the... I think they were trying to capture the feel of the series. I think they're trying to capture the feel of what this era would have been like. And even if Colin and Nicola had not wanted to... have played it that way, I think that the producers of Big Finish would have came down and said, we have to have that underlying at the very least.
I thought it was much more subtle.
It was more subtle than that, and I appreciate that, but it is still there.
I mean, the major point I can think of is him berating her about how she speaks.
Yeah, well, but that was kind of a running...
It was a running gag.
That was a running gag through the whole, through the whole era of.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I mean, there was always him mocking her Americanism.
the one thing that I took away from this with a great amount of irony is the fact that here we finally have a villain that the Sonic Screwdriver was made for.
It's true.
Well, we don't have one to do.
No, that's true.
There is no Sonic in the story.
Well, there's no Sonic in the Sixth Doctor.
Well, yeah, but of all of the times to reach in the pocket and go, hang on, I got this. Yeah. My get-out-of-jail-free card, I'm getting out of jail free today.
I understand the Doctor's a pacifist, but this monster, they put him on a disc. Snap the disc!
This Doctor's is not as much, never been as much of a pacifist,
and maybe that's why I thought
of
this more so.
I think that's why
so.
This Doctor's ready to just capture this monster and be done with it.
I
you
captured
know?
Him on disc here. No, yeah. Don't save it.
That
break
the
disc in
that
half.
Was the other thing is
pop
it
in a microwave.
It was too easily taken from the Doctor, too. It was too easily...
Yes. I didn't like that either.
Confusing the Doctor and making him... I mean, it was too pickpocketed. I didn't like that either. Mm-hmm. So
we're going to chalk this one up to growing pains on the
I'm trying.
Because it's
because
so early in Big Finish.
You know what? I've heard so much Big Finish past this that is wonderful and I love. And that's why I wish I had... No. I'm actually kind of grateful that I didn't start from the beginning at one point because I might have gotten... disinterested. I don't think I would have hated any. I haven't hated any of it. But no. I would have gotten more disinterested and not gotten into it as much and probably not come to it as readily as I did this time. But I've heard enough future Big Finish of the main line that getting back, going through this, I'm appreciating hearing it, but it's I'd still put it in the, this is just the growing pains of the audio line getting off the ground.
It was rough. I mean, obviously going Eighth Doctor Audio Adventures, okay, cool. And then going back, Sirens of Time, Phantasmagoria, Whispers of Terror, Land of the Dead. I mean, it was just boom, 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 boom. Like I said, I like, and maybe that's the other thing, is because when I listened to it, I did these in order for the stretch of it. So I had this one sandwiched in between Phantasmagoria and Land of the Dead. So it was a definite woo, I know. And, you know, you guys are kind of bringing me down a little bit on it, but that's all right.
I think I agree with Glenn that knowing that there's so much better to come, these growing pains are tough to go back and listen to if it weren't in order. I probably would have powered through them hoping, okay, maybe...
eventually.
Each doctor... almost every episode is a different doctor, so... Oh, well, maybe this one will be a little bit better. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I thought it was an all right thing. I mean, yeah, it's got problems. It's got some pretty big... Wait a minute, that didn't make any sense moments, but...
Definitely my least favorite six.
It is. It's my least favorite six that we've done so far.
All right, what's next on the schedule then?
Well, I've got a wedding or something coming up, don't we?
Something.
Yeah, I want to say.
Something kind of
got
major.
My shoes. Like
4 days.
I haven't got my tux. Yet. Well, none of us have our tuxes. We don't get those until Thursday.
Yeah, by the way, have they called you on that yet? Because I want to go and make sure that it... I mean, yeah. I was fitted for it, but
we're
I want to make sure
to
it was fitted for me.
We're when supposed to go happening? Thursday.
How soon in the day will
anytime.
We go? Good, because I can only do it before work.
Yeah, so can I. So okay. We don't have to go as a group. Okay. You can go on your own. I'm fine with that, too, but you don't
That's
have to.
That's funny that we're talking about this on the podcast. Sorry.
It really is.
Well, we can talk about it later. But, yeah, there's a wedding coming up.
I don't know when Blake will be able to go either. Yeah. So.
Well, it dawned on me. It's like, this is Saturday.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, it's a week away.
So I was getting concerned. Okay.
Get a Thursday. Call from who?
Really? Shouldn't they call and say, your tux is here? Come try it on. Make sure it fits so that if there's
no,
a problem,
they told us when
back.
We fit
they,
it
they
for
did
them,
tell
they'd
us
be there Thursday.
Yeah. They said, it's come Thursday. That way we can get anything fixed Friday if it's not right so we can have it for Saturday.
No place I've ever had tuxes from have called me before the...
That seems weird to me.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, if you've had any place, listener, where the tux company has called you before the day that they told you the tux was going to be there, let us
in
know.
In celebration of your upcoming nuptials, we're doing Vincent the Doctor.
Woo! Yay!
Your favorite episode.
Yay!
I'm not misspeaking there. It's your favorite episode, right?
It's one of my favorites. I don't have one absolute favorite. There's too many good Matt Smith to put one above others.
We're watching Vincent the Doctor.
One of my most favorite episodes.
One of his least favorite will be when Matt leaves. Sorry.
And we will watch that over.
And laugh.
Hey, Keith, are you ready? Here, I've rewound it for you. Here he goes again. Oh, and he's dead.
All right, sorry.
God, we're not nice people. Why do you hang out with us?
You know what? Simon Fisher-Becker follows me and not you.
Oh.
You did it.
Yeah, I got nothing. So Vincent the Doctor, and then because of the wedding and the festivities and all that fun stuff.
And going on holiday.
And going on holiday, it will just be the two of us, Glenn and I, going solo-ish, mono-a-mono.
Ish.
Ish. With our
It'll
book
be a
reviews.
Duet.
It'll be a duet next week. There we go. Instead of the Traveling the Vortex trio. With our book reviews next week. And then, if all of this scheduling nonsense gets worked out, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there and say that the Friday Night Who, the week of the 24th, is going to be the...
Wait, why are you going to do that? Because we're pretty certain now that the 24th or 25th won't be the launch.
That's why I'm going to do that.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, because we had it a certain way for that. That's right.
I've got an A, B, and a C all lined up right here.
I've got you have contingencies.
Contingency plans. Wheels within wheels. Do I look like a man with a plan? I'm a schemer.
This is actually good for what you were going to do, because this is the best way to do it.
Greatest Show in the Galaxy, which actually releases in North America tomorrow. or today if you're listening to it. It's Tuesday. Tuesday. Today.
Well, it's today now for us, too. It's Tuesday for
Tuesday
us
the
now.
14th, the Sylvester McCoy episode, Greatest Show in the Galaxy, releases. All right. And so we'll be doing that one. Why, you ask? Well, because what's the greatest show in the galaxy?
Keith and Sarah's wedding.
So we'll pair those two up in our talk on the next episode thereafter. And then...
Which may be a day or two late.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is we may have a delay in the programming.
The good news is I foresee no reason why you and I can't record on next Sunday.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then... 31st of August. Did we decide for sure on the Pertwee is okay?
Well, we don't know if that's the premiere yet.
If that happens to be the premiere week, I don't think
if
it will
be. If that happens to be the premiere week, we will do another Dalek Archive, because I know how much Glenn loves them. For Friday Night Who, we'll do Day of the Daleks.
Yay!
With John Pertwee. And then our show that week will be Day of the Daleks and Asylum
Yay!
Of the Daleks. Assuming it actually...
I'll tell you...
airs when maybe it
I'll make
might
a confession here.
Supposed to.
Back several weeks ago when we were going to do Death of the Daleks, I was all excited because I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I remember this one. This was a really good one. And I had confused it totally with Day of the Daleks. So I was like, yeah, I'd seen this, and yeah, this was pretty. And then the next, then I obviously went and purchased it and watched it and went, oh, I've never seen this. Oh, it's Day of the Daleks. So I'm now, well, yes, this is the one that I have seen, and I do enjoy this
Yay.
One. This is Third Doctor Joe Grant. So
okay.
Their second Dalek story together.
Should we go ahead and give them the whole lineup? Or
second
just,
and a half, let's I guess.
Just keep it. Okay.
Yeah, let's keep it
we'll
quiet. Because there's certainly some rhyme to our reason, and we'll let you in on that as we go.
But is there reason to our rhyme?
No.
Okay, well, then that's it.
All right. Very good. Well... that's going to do it for us this week. Until next week.
Oh, can I do my other thing, or do you want to end it?
Yeah, do your other thing.
Okay.
Are we going to do the time lash? Let's do the time lash
again.
For those of you that asked...
That wasn't what he was going to do.
That wasn't what
no.
he was going to do. The side trip,
which
hopefully will be up later this week. It is recorded. It's in the
It
cam.
Will be out later this
okay.
week.
Okay, well, Glenn will have it up later this week. People had asked... I don't know how long ago.
A few months.
For us to do a Star Trek retrospective.
For you to
and,
do
and
it.
I said, well, okay, I'll do it because, you know, I know everything. And so I put together a nice little short half hour.
Ooh.
Well, 31 minute.
That's not a half hour. Well, half hour would imply 30 minutes. Okay.
After you trim off the excess and
that's right.
Ish presentation on Star Trek. So that'll be a nice little side trip. For those of you that have been kind of wondering, how do you get started on that behemoth?
By
of
those
show?
You, we mean Chrissy.
Mark was also.
Oh, he was.
Yeah,
we got him on Star Trek, and
he was excited for that to come.
So he was on Star Trek for that, too. And in the process of doing that, I did some research, and I found a whole slew of little Doctor Who references in Star Trek. And I know that you were really bummed when Possible Astronaut came out because she made the, is that a Star Trek mask?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were like, oh, now it can't be official.
Right.
Well, are you ready for this
Even
stuff?
Though we get a comic.
All right. These are Doctor Who references in Star Trek. So the reverse. Star Trek referencing Doctor Who.
Ooh.
In Star Trek The Next Generation, the episode The Naked Now, Riker asks for a sonic driver in order to open a force field. In the episode The Neutral Zone, which is where they have people that are cryogenically frozen and they wake up in the 21st century, mm-hmm. there's an on-screen graphic of Claire Raymond's family. Her family tree is listed as follows. William Hartnell, Patrick Troughton, John Pertwee, Tom Baker, Peter Davidson, and Colin Baker, among her descendants.
Nice.
Now, not Sylvester McCoy, though.
Not so, well, he hadn't come out yet. He had been cast as the
oh,
Seventh Doctor,
oh, yeah, yeah,
but none of his stories had aired here.
Started in the late 80s. Yeah,
now, here's
right.
an interesting one. Davidson is misspelled. It's Davidson.
Oh.
And for some reason... when they are doing this, the Blu-ray release of the Next Gen series that just came out, they have apparently omitted this graphic
Oh.
And I think it's because the Blu-ray resolution is so much greater that you can actually pause and freeze frame thing. And I think they were concerned about some sort of rights violation.
Oh, sure. Whereas
before it was a clever little
in-joke.
Well,
it's just guys' names,
like,
though. It's not Doctor Who.
Well, apparently other parts of her family tree included Kermit T. Frog, Miss Piggy, Lou Grant, and Mary Richards.
Well, I know I remember a magazine came out. Now, this is a little off subject, but the magazine came out back when I was still living in Liberal. So this has been back in the early 90s that talked about Next Gen and the fun that they would have with the console. And there are, on the console, there's readings that you couldn't have read back in standard definition. One of them was, you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. And it was actually literally on a console somewhere on there. And there's other little nods to pop culture references that they typed on these because they knew it would never, ever be read by anybody, you know, on standard definition television, of course.
They didn't know about HD.
Yeah. Who knew that they would be upconverting all this
well,
stuff later?
There's a great one, too, on the in engineering in Next Gen. There's that really great schematic of the Enterprise blueprint that hangs up on the wall and is backlit. If you look closely, you can see the silhouette of a rubber duck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was on there as well. Yeah, that was on there as well.
In the thing. And apparently, and there's an episode of Enterprise where there is a time travel pod that the writer and or the co-writer immediately said it's bigger on the inside. So they did that graphic in Enterprise, and they walked in, and it was huge. And they said it's a direct reference to this. The co-writer, Mike Sussman, said, my idea of the ship morphing into a police call box was immediately nixed by the producers. Now, there have also been several Star Trek references on Doctor Who. Although, according to this, some of these are a little stretched, like Power of the Daleks took place on a rocky planet named Vulcan, but they think that's more of a coincidence than anything else. Phasers are mentioned in both. Obviously, matter teleportation and transportation. The big one is where'd it go? Well, obviously, new series has done it a lot. Jack Harkness, Rose introduces the Doctor as Mr. Spock,
right,
so he calls
right.
him Spock the whole thing. There was a cloaking device referenced in the movie instead of the chameleon circuit. And apparently, the BBC's Guide to Curse of Peladon flat out says that this episode has its roots in Star Trek, particularly Journey to Babel.
Oh, okay.
Like that whole idea came from there. Which now that I'm like,
oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
The concept is totally the same. Yeah.
So there were some fun ones in there. But I thought you guys would appreciate that. And if you like, I can give Glenn the link to this Memory Alpha website where all these are listed and you can go through. And there's a ton more in books than what I'm
mentioning. Well, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get into
Well, send it on,
so.
And we'll tag that on.
That's my prattling for
you. All right. So look for that later this week. What is it? Go ahead.
Russell T. Davies said the billing for the episode Darmok of Next Gen was his inspiration for Midnight. This is a direct quote from RTD. I've seen lots of Star Trek The Next Generation. I think it's a lovely show. But there's one episode, the billing for which is so fascinating, I've actively avoided ever seeing it. I love the idea so much, I'd rather think about it forever. The episode's called Darmok, and the synopsis simply says Captain Picard is trapped on a planet with an alien who can only talk in metaphors. Wow, that sounds brilliant. How does that work? What happens? How does it end? I've got no idea. Not seen it. But it keeps resonating with me. I've just looked up its transmission date. It's almost 20 years old. I've been thinking about this story and its potential for 20 years. I think, how would I sustain myself in my head for that long? I think the mystery keeps the concept alive. Here I am, still wondering right now. And I can see that the idea has bled into my own work. In 2008, I wrote a Doctor Who episode called Midnight. Is it like Darmok? I don't know. But stripped down to its essentials, it's a story about a hero, an alien, and words. That's practically the same billing. Maybe the two shows are profoundly different, but I know for a fact that all those years of wondering about Darmok led me to that script.
Very cool.
I thought that one was really cool.
That is cool.
And if you've seen Darmok, you kind of go, No.
No.
Sorry, RTD.
And unfortunately, RTD has built it up bigger in his head than it really is.
It's a great episode.
Dormick's good episode, but it certainly does seem more intriguing the way that it's described than it really is.
Yeah, that definitely builds it up more than it is. But
anyway,
that's it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it then for sure this week. Until next week, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
Good night, everybody.
Be seeing you in 2 weeks.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.